It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. At 101.3thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy? Happy birthday to you. Look at you.
God, it's good to be 28.
Oh, you look so good.
I do. I'm ripped. Good. I spent hours at the gym today.
Jeez. 28 plus 30?
Yes.
Happy birthday.
That's ridiculous. Thank
you. Happy birthday. Well, as you always say, you may be 58, but you order like an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I certainly live like
that. You look good. You look good.
Wow. What are you on? You're not supposed to get drunk before the show.
I know that. I was going to buy actually a tap that we could have put alcohol in. It was $200. And I was just going to sit here and fill it up with beer and we could just pour it while we're doing the show.
Doing the show. Yeah. Is that legal?
No, but so what? Okay. What the hell?
It's never happened.
If we were doing a remote, it would be. We'd just say we're doing a remote live from the 101.3 The Game Bar.
We'd just say, we're live from 40th and Allen.
I'm filling up with whiskey.
We're promoting 40th and Allen and all its wonderfulness.
Shots of whiskey, yes.
Arnie, can I say something?
Yes. Say anything you want.
I don't think that jokes like that are funny from you, considering you've had two beers with us the entire time that you've been on the show. Don't make jokes anymore.
Wow,
Don't get my hopes up anymore about taps in the studio and shots of whiskey.
No, I live
it.
A double life. Around you guys, I'm calm and reserved. Then when I go out and party, it's whiskey for everybody.
Right down at RJ's.
Let's go.
The only taps in this building are the kind they play on a bugle.
Steve says, happy 60th, Rich. You have a body of a 70-year-old and the clothes of a 14-year-old boy.
Who said that?
That's Steve.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty much accurate, though. And happy birthday, you stud muffin, is from a first-time texter.
Okay.
So that must be one of the many women that are coming.
Well, if you're
going to
be a first-time texter, that'd be we want you to say, then you stud muffin.
I've been called a lot of things, and that ain't one of them.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm sure it is. Wow. Are you doing anything exciting tonight?
Oh, I have big plans. I'm going to go home and hang out with my cat and watch whatever's on TV.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting and romantic. And
whatever is on TV. The national championship game is on television.
Who cares?
I don't care. By the way, Arnie.
Yes.
Our great national nightmare is over. I mean, really. I thought this kept me up most of the weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm relieved to be able to tell you that now Rich cannot win the 101.3 The Game Bracket Challenge.
I was just bummed.
Cannot. Zero. Done. It's over.
Thanks a lot, Spartans.
I was just bummed that he was in second place. I thought I wanted him to be down like at 100 or something.
Hey. Second place is just the first loser.
Yes,
and
exactly.
That's where Rich is right now.
Out of 300 people, and you're telling me a loser? What happened was I had Michigan State beating Virginia, so I got one of the teams right, but I didn't get the other one right.
You do not have Michigan State beating Virginia because Virginia is your champion. So.
Oh, I thought I had.
He doesn't even know who he picked.
No idea.
Done.
But isn't Virginia still in it?
Yes.
This is so embarrassing.
So if they win, I predicted it right.
Who did you? Wait.
I thought I took Michigan. No, I did take Virginia.
Yes, so he doesn't even know.
I don't care.
Before the show, Rich told me he took the Lakers to win it all. So there you go. He has the Lakers winning the NIT.
Aren't they a college team?
You're lucky.
Superior State, the Lakers.
The Oswego State Lakers.
Them too.
You're lucky it's your birthday. We won't hammer on that more, but you are you don't even know who you picked.
No, but you're telling me I have no chance of winning, and yet I picked the championship
team. Yeah, but you have no chance of being
in
first place, though, is what we're telling you. Because so did the guy in front of you. He picked
Jim Lowe, who writes for the Times Argus, is ahead of me now.
Yeah, and he picked the same champion as you have.
Yes.
Oh, okay, and he's in first. All right.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
So if Virginia wins, you're still going to finish behind him, and if they lose, you're still going to be behind him.
Let me put it in baseball terms. You've been mathematically eliminated from the playoff race, okay? Is that a little bit better?
What is my magic number?
Yes,
zero.
Can you figure that out?
Tragic number in this case.
Is that going to be a little bit easier? Do we have anything to bribe somebody?
Like what?
We didn't buy anything for Rich. Maybe we could bribe somebody with something, and they could bring in a cake or something.
No pizza? I don't want cake.
I'll
take
pizza?
A pizza. Better yet, a tour of Italy from the Olive Garden.
Could do that.
But how about just a date with Rich and you have to buy it at the Olive Garden?
Yeah, a date, like the kind, the dates, fruit.
I used to fix myself up on the blind date of the week. That's how I met my wife.
You're kidding.
No.
Mean she was blind?
No, she was blind. Yeah. Yes. No, I went out on four blind dates and she was one of them. One was a nudie dancer named Treasure.
Is this true?
Oh, absolutely
true. This is
true.
Only the 94th time we've heard this.
I've never heard this.
Brady's heard it all.
It is the movie 51st Date. It's been on the star.
Today's Rich's first day? Is that what's going on here?
Yes.
I wasn't born yesterday. Well, actually, I was.
Don't forget the part of the story where he had met his wife 10 years earlier at a frat party.
Because I didn't score. I didn't call her back.
Yes.
There you go. That's why.
And there was a blonde with her. And he thought the blonde was cute. And then 10 years later, when she appeared, he was disappointed because he thought she was the blonde.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Rich.
I hate this when one of us has some brain cells left and the other doesn't.
Yeah, that bothers me a little bit also.
Dean in Hinesburg says, I hope you have a great year and snow tires can be in your future. So, you know, it really is disgusting, though, that you made it through this entire winter without snow tires and you're perfectly fine.
And I went to Maine, and apparently it's snowing like crazy over there, and I just missed about a foot and a half of snow. I took the northern route back the mountains yesterday.
Yeah, 6 to 12 inches
today
in Maine.
And TC says he's in Bridgeton today, Bridgeton being exactly a town I drove through yesterday at about this time. Says there's about a foot of snow in there right now. Can you imagine me in my car with those tires trying to get home from Maine?
You would have had the station vehicle, I'm sure.
Well, not to Maine.
First time texter, happy birthday, Rich. 58 has never sounded or looked so good.
Wow. Way,
Rich is getting a lot more love than you got on your birthday.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think we weren't here, though, were we? No, we had the day off.
No, we did not, because all these people called in for your birthday.
Well, it Friday?
No, it was Wednesday.
Wednesday. And we had Wednesday off we had Thursday off. That's
people,
right.
Remember your son called in? Am I a radio host or just an organizer of thoughts? Like, what is this?
Or a nursing home worker.
I can't even remember what I'm on. What was I on? What day were we off for crying out loud?
I mean, what is going on here?
Jeez, I don't remember what we're on.
Memory capture supervisor.
Hey, speaking of trivia, Wednesday night, that's where I'll be hosting City Sports Grill in Colchester. We'll have $5 beer specials, 5 for $5 appetizers, and a lot of fun as well. So City Sports Grill in Colchester, 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday.
All right, let's get right at it. Rich, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And if somebody wants to bring down a
pizza
or a coconut cream cake for me, for no reason.
Or cheesecake.
Just because it's such a beautiful day to celebrate.
I mean, come on. You need a birthday cake now. The one that says,
I'm not a cake guy.
I know that.
You're
but,
not an anything guy unless it's hamburger and
mac and cheese.
Ricardo or something like that. I'll get somebody here to work on that. I should have done this.
There's nobody here. We're the only
ones
in the
everybody's
building.
Out sick, by the way. I have a pet peeve about that. When everybody calls out sick. Nick, the sales guy, called in sick, and he spread his germs all through this room on Friday, and we're all here fine.
What about the possibility all these people are sick because I showed up for work sick Friday?
I don't know how that works. You're sick, but you're here. You were fine, and you got everybody else sick, but they go ahead and miss days.
Right.
I don't understand what's going on here.
You get really mad when people are out.
Infuriating.
I just laugh at them because then they use all their sick days and personal days and vacation time up by like May, and then they're done.
I don't believe people are sick. I just think they call in and they're doing errands, and one day I'm going to go in, and I'm not going to come into work, and all I'm going to do is videotape everybody that called in sick, running around and having fun and doing stuff and going bowling and stuff. That's what I'm going to do.
Maybe it's like senior skip day, and we didn't get the memo. Yeah.
Exactly.
Although we can skip tomorrow.
Yeah, well
maybe.
Some of it. We got the Red Sox game at 2. It'll be over at 5:30 post-game show, so we're all going to wait around here for a half-hour show.
All of us.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
So, hey,
happy birthday. Let's get out of Brady. What do we got going on?
Plenty to get to. The Patriots are largely skipping out on Red Sox opening day. We'll talk about that. Paul Pierce is being torched by the media. The Bruins and Celtics are readying for the playoffs. David Price, he speaks out against Major League Baseball. But first, let's get to those Red Sox. Let's start it there. They lose 2 out of 3 again here, so they've lost 3 out of 4. They've lost 3 out of 4, and they've lost 2 out of 3. They salvaged the series yesterday in Arizona, winning 1-0, finally getting some good pitching, bullpen day. So the thing we thought was the weakness turning out to be the strength early. Mitch Moreland with what turns out to be the game-winning homer. 1-0 win, but this team has a lot of issues right now at 3-8 as they get set to come home tomorrow.
And there's nobody on the farm. That Portland Sea Dogs team was awful Saturday.
Well, you know there's no one on the farm. We've known that. We've been talking about that for a year and a half. They got two guys. Okay, they got Michael Chavis and they got Sam Travis, and those are the guys they tell us about, and that is it.
Yeah, they look terrible.
And Darwinson Hernandez. So they got three guys of any interest in the whole system.
Darwinson pitched yesterday and pitched extremely well, but that's beside the point. This is, I'm not the least bit concerned. I've been saying this all along. I understand they're 3-8, but the starting rotation can't possibly be 0-7 with a 9.3 ERA for the rest of the season. Why? I mean, you can't possibly be that bad.
No, but what was the stat? It's the worst start from a team that's ever won a championship.
Second worst. The Marlins were like 1-12 or something, or 1-10.
But there was nothing left of that team the following year.
I mean, it was just, well, that team was gutted, right?
Right.
So, yeah, so this is it's one of the biggest, you know, turnaround in losses Major League Baseball's ever seen. So why wouldn't you be concerned about that, considering it is the same team? So it's either the point is maybe they're not getting as lucky as they were last year, or, you know, maybe their talents are not as good as they were last year. I mean, it could be a combination of both.
How could their talents not be as good as they were last year?
Are you serious?
I mean, it's the same team.
How could their talents not be as good as last year?
How does Mookie Betts suddenly not be able to hit?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you one name, and then you figure it out. Porcello. One year he's a Cy Young.
He's an
exception. Next year he's what? Okay, thank you.
He's an exception. He's the Brett Saberhagen of the modern era. He goes from Cy Young potential to terrible.
But that happens a lot in baseball, Brady. I mean, come on. That happens a lot.
It happens a lot anywhere. How many times do you see a guy who's a good running back for 1 year and then fall off the plan?
You don't see that in the NBA. If a guy averages 20, he's not dropping the 5 points a game unless there's like a major injury or something like that. They usually stay consistent. In baseball, it's horrible. You could be one great year and one bad year. When you went downstairs, we were talking real quick about who is it? Mark Davis? Is that not
Chris
Mark?
Davis?
Chris Davis. Davis.
Oh,
what a year.
Oh, my God. 161 contract.
The one from Baltimore?
Yeah, yes. $161 million contract in his fourth year.
Yep.
He's two more at-bats away from breaking the record of going 0-46 from a positional player. But you might as well take in that money and flush it down the toilet. Yeah, goodness.
That's awful. Again, for the Red Sox, though. Rich, I do think there's a degree of concern here. Not that they're not going to be okay, but I was thinking about this. Arnie, you remember 2 years ago, not this season, but to this season a degree, you said about the Celtics. Celtics started slow, and they were 10-10, and they're 12-12, et cetera. And this year they kind of did the same thing, and Arnie, you were like, well, hey, when can I be concerned? At what point am I allowed to be concerned? And Rich and I told you, you can't get concerned at all. This I do think you can be concerned about the Red Sox, and here's the reason why. In the NBA, I don't get concerned. In the NHL, I don't get concerned. Why? 8 teams make the playoffs. More than half the league makes the playoffs. So you just got to get in, and then things can happen. In baseball, you're talking about 5 teams that can make the playoffs. So you're talking about you're talking about much fewer teams that get into the playoffs. So you can't afford to have an awful April. Do I think that the Red Sox are going to miss the playoffs? No, I don't. I still think they are going to be fine, but I can't just sit here and say, it's only 11 games, because Tampa, the Yankees, these teams that can build 4, 5, 6 game leads on them in this slump, that can be hard to recover from in a league where you don't have half the teams making the playoffs.
Right. I mean, they always say that games in April matter just as much as the games at any point of the year. They all count for the same thing.
You cannot win the division in April, but you can lose
it. Yeah, and I mean, sure, they're 3-8. I'll tell you, I feel a lot better after that win yesterday, although nobody is hitting other than J.D. Martinez and, to a point, Swihart. But I heard a stat on my trip over to Maine over the weekend on sports radio on the way. If they played 600 ball for the rest of the season, they would win 93 games. So that's not an easy thing to do.
Wow.
So, I mean, last year we were so spoiled because they won 108 regular season games. So they set the bar so high, you go, oh, no, 93 wins. But 600 ball isn't easy, even though they did it and then some all of last year.
Do you know they're the worst team in baseball, except for maybe the Reds?
Well, Toronto's tied with them, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, forget about that, though. It's not even so much record-wise. Even take a look at the run differential.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's minus 26. Well, that's the worst in baseball.
Well, that's the pitching. I mean, and the other thing is when the offense disappears, it completely disappears. I mean, yesterday nobody could do anything. They've left a zillion guys on base. They've been shut out by guys nobody's ever heard of. It's been sort of an all or nothing mentality offensively, and when they do hit, the pitching is so bad that it doesn't win them enough games. But look, at 3-8, I'm fine. I think people need to calm down. It's classic Boston overreaction.
By the way, I don't know this, but you better believe this is what I would be doing if I'm the Red Sox. When I look at Mookie Betts and I see 262, if I'm going to have a bad year and I'm not going to make the playoffs, and I'm a Red Sox fan, man, I hope that averages dips on down.
He wants it to be like 180, so they don't have to pay him.
Well, but you know what? He doesn't want to hear that crap. He's not going to want to hear that.
You're going to have to pay him anyway.
But that's what you're saying.
But he's not going to bat 180. Let's say he bats 240. Worse, 250. 260, but he's too good of a player.
Like Bryce Harper did last year.
Exactly.
Look where that got him.
He doesn't want to. I'm thinking maybe he could bring down the numbers. It doesn't make a difference what he'll bat. He don't want to hear that crap from you, but then he'll go somewhere else real quick if you try to pull those shenanigans.
But that's what you want. You're saying
that's what I want. But thank goodness I'm not running the Red Sox, for crying out
loud. And the Mookie buzz is out there to the point where no matter what he does this year, he's in line. It really is. Just like the Bryce Harper thing. He hits 240 last year, and he's still got $8 gazillion.
802-655-6672. Brady, who's on the line?
Kyle in South Burlington.
Let's go to Kyle in South Burlington. Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, you guys haven't mentioned the factor of Sandy Leon, who was on the team last year as their catcher, the primary catcher that did so much for that pitching staff. He was owed $2.4 million. They decided to waive him and keep Blake Swihart on the roster for more offense. And my argument is, why do you need more offense? They've got plenty of hitters and won the World Series last year. But you need a guy who can shut down the run game and help your pitchers, and Sandy Leon was all of that.
Isn't that way? And I'll ask you before I ask Brady, isn't that just a tad bit overrated when the guy has a personal catcher? He's got to catch this guy because otherwise he won't be able to pitch. I mean, come on now. Isn't that a tad bit overrated or what?
Well, it could be, but when you have arguably the best pitcher in the game wants to throw to this guy, and you just gave him a $100 million contract, perhaps you ought to listen.
No, he's not. Appreciate the call, Kyle.
Yeah, he's not wrong. And I mean, the thing is there's got to be a reason why Sandy Leon went through the waiver process and not one single major league team claimed him. Not one.
And here's what I'll say, too, because, look, I don't think it's overrated when you have a guy who's a good glove first catcher. I don't think that's overrated, but Sandy Leon played 89 games last year. He didn't play 139. He played 89 games. He played more than half the year, and part of the reason was only because Christian Vasquez missed a bunch of time in the middle of the season on the DL. If Vasquez had been healthy for the full year, Leon wouldn't have played that much. So the team was great in general. The team was great when Leon played, but he only played half the season.
No, maybe I didn't say it right. I don't mean it's overrated having a good defensive catcher. I mean, isn't it overrated with the, I need my personal catcher?
Yeah, but none of them have said personal catcher.
No, because he said, well, that's what the call was.
Sale did like throwing to Leon, but right. hasn't said, I can't throw to Vasquez, throw to Swihart.
But isn't that what the caller was insinuating? Like, hey, you know, he handled the pitching staff very well. What about, you know, losing him? Yeah. And I'm like, that's a little bit overrated, handling the pitching staff.
No, it's not. Be a pitcher. It's not overrated.
Well, I just asked you that, and you just said, yeah.
Well, the ability to throw an 0-2 slider in the dirt and hoping the guy will swing, knowing your catcher is going to stop, it matters. Let's ask the pitcher.
Is that what you're talking about, handling the pitching stuff, or are you talking about calling the pitches?
I'm saying calling the game.
Right,
that's what
I'm talking about, is calling the game.
No, you're not. You just said, isn't it overrated to have a personal catcher?
As for calling the game. Like, he's your personal catcher because he's calling the game. You should be able to pitch to any catcher. Are you talking about blocking the plate like Rich is? Or am I confused now?
I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying two different things.
I'm saying
there are some pitchers that will only throw to one catcher.
Right.
Javi Lopez was the best hitting catcher in baseball for a number of years. Played for the mid-90s Braves. Greg Maddux would not throw to him. Yeah. He only pitched to Eddie Perez, and Eddie Perez hit about 140.
Right, but isn't that overrated when you say you needed this guy? Can't you pitch to anybody calling the pitches?
I don't think that's overrated. Okay. I think only the elitist of elite pitchers actually get that privilege.
Okay.
But I think the caller's point was that, look, Leon, the stats were great with Leon last year. Although, hey, surprise, the stats were great with everybody last year because the team won 108 games. Leon is a good catcher. He's a good defensive catcher. I do believe that he provided the pitching staff some stability. But my point was, he only played 89 games. So I'm making a point against the caller in that case. Vasquez would have played far more than Leon had he not been hurt for 6 weeks.
I was going to skip and swan, I think, is what I said, too. With these major league players and pitchers, I think he meant to put, get paid, they should be able to throw it to anybody. Again, that's...
Miss me with that. Miss me with that. Because, look, if you're going to tell me by that regard, all basketball players should be great no matter what, but hey, some guys play better with others. Yeah. Or hey, this slot receiver is great with New England, but he should be able to be great everywhere. Like, we understand that in some cases, systems and coaching staffs and game plans do help players.
Right.
Just like some catchers are going to be better for some pitchers.
Couple of things on this. A lot of people are overreacting because Leon, they think, I can't believe they just gave Sandy Leon away and he's gone. He's not gone. They can bring him up in 1 minute if they want to. He's at Pawtucket. He's playing. The problem is, and it's not a problem for the team that's hitting as poorly as the Red Sox currently at 238 as a team, is the fact that Blake Swihart's hitting 375.
Right.
So it, as long as he's not hitting 220 or 180 or whatever Leon would be hitting if he were here, and providing reasonable amounts of defense, I like the move.
And Swihart is out of minor league options, so you were risking losing him. Now, I could have justified trading Swihart to keep Leon. I could have justified trading Leon to go and get somebody, but they didn't have a taker for either of them, or they were unwilling to try to trade Swihart, but Swihart can't go to the minor leagues, and they risk losing him for nothing.
Brady, again, another attack on... We're attacking the pitchers today, I guess. Jay said, if pitchers are going to be the highest paid players on the team and are professionals, then pitch to whoever. Again, I feel the same way
that's what
as
the team
Jay
is,
and Skip.
That's what the team is doing, though. Yeah. The caller's point was that we have said...
Skip, and Jay took it different than you did, so I think we're a little confused, but go ahead.
The caller was simply saying, you came out and said, this team is the same as last year. It's all the same guys. And the caller came out and said, no, it's not all the same guys. San Leon was a difference maker behind the plate last year. He handles the pitching staff well. He's no longer there. It's unfair to say this is the exact same team as last year. That's what the caller was saying.
And it'll be interesting to see if they try bringing up Leon and all of a sudden the pitching gets better, which it has to, with a 9 ERA so far, and what that will mean for Sandy Leon, and more importantly, what it'll mean for Blake Swihart out of options and hitting 375. What do you do with him?
Yeah. If you want to get in, Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. But anyway, like I said, though, they are the worst team in baseball, except for maybe the Cincinnati Reds. If you look at like run differential, they've just been absolutely horrible.
Talk to me in a week.
They're the worst. They are the worst team in baseball. Yeah. When it comes to run differential.
Yeah, fortunately, though, the show's today, so I can't talk to you in a week. So
that's a shocking reaction.
Yeah, the show's today.
Just go along with whatever I say today. This is my special day.
I'm gonna ask Brady if I could take off till September 30th, and then then I'll come back and I go, well, Rich, now we know how they're going to do. I could talk to you today. It's September 30th. There's one day left in the regular season.
It is.
Jeez.
It's frustrating what the Red Sox are doing. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they hit, they don't pitch. The bullpen has been better than we expected. Yes. I mean, all of a sudden, Brandon Workman's got 5 scoreless appearances, and Barnes has been good, whether it's been the end of the game or in the 7th inning. Brazier gets his first save. So the bullpen concerns have been alleviated to a degree right now, but the team is still 3-8. The reason why it's worrisome is, again, you can't win a division in April. You can lose a division in April. You don't want to muddle your way through the first month and be... You don't want to finish 9-15 and then be fighting your way uphill. And right now, that's what they're headed for, potentially.
Brady, read Skip and Swanton's and then answer it.
I think that word is calls.
But go ahead.
Who do you think calls the game for pitchers? The catcher, or do they mostly get their stuff from the manager, or does the pitcher do it himself? That would make a huge difference in this argument. I do believe that most good catchers call their own game.
It should. I don't know why the pitcher doesn't. Just like I don't understand why the NFL quarterback doesn't call every play. No matter from a rookie, well, I can understand rookies, but someone like Tom Brady, I'd say just call every play you want. I don't understand why you got to have an offensive coordinator or a coach calling the plays.
But Brady is a former pitcher at the college level. Yeah. I mean, if you've got your fastball just buzzing and nobody's touching you, and all of a sudden your catcher puts down 2 fingers, aren't you going to shake him off on that particular day?
Some people will. Yeah. I mean, yes, you have the freedom in most cases to shake off, but you don't want to shake off 182 times.
I'm going to take it. I'm not exception, but I'm going to question you on one thing. Who's calling sales pitches?
It's completely the catcher.
So it's up to the catcher to say, I'm going to take the fastball away from you and we're going to go and pitch the contact? Or that comes from Cora? It can't be that the catcher's making this decision on himself.
I mean, they have a game plan, same as you would say.
Right.
Hey, Steph Curry, you shoot threes really well, but today this team's got a really bad interior defense. We think you can go inside. Obviously, there's a game plan, but the catcher is the guy physically making the decision and putting the fingers down in most cases.
Which is why Erod's days are numbered in the Red Sox uniform.
E-Rod's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
802-655-6672. Often running on this Monday. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Paul Pierce getting crushed by the media. Why?
All right, we'll get to that. That's next. You're in the huddle. What do we...
Call or text at 802-655-6672. Tweet us at 101.3 The Game. Send us a Facebook message. However you want to get in, you can. It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All name the band.
Rush.
No.
Neil Young.
Well done. The millennial nails.
Well, he knew it. He probably looked it up. What do you want?
I know it because it says it on the screen.
Yeah, it says it on the screen there.
Oh, okay. My dad plays it when he plays. My dad plays music. He's got 100 gigs this year. This is one of his songs.
Your dad's a musician?
Yeah. Yes, he plays. He's got 100 gigs this year.
What's the name of the band?
The Tim Farkas solo act.
Really?
Yeah, he plays acoustic music by himself.
Ernie's giving me that. He's told you this 50 times.
Well, he has mentioned
it. It's a little nerve-wracking when Arnie looks at me like as if he has that perfect memory.
Todd, it sounds like Arnie's about ready to write off the Red Sox season after 10 games and say something stupid like, this is the Blue Jays division to lose, like he did with the Dolphins. That's Todd.
Arnie,
no, I'm not going to do my predictions. My predictions will come out September 30th on who I like to win great. The divisions, Brady. So wait for my prediction September 30th. I'm going to be giving them.
Arnie, you'll be happy to know. Yes. I went through and deleted a whole bunch of stuff like from the last 2 months. But I did keep all your predictions about football about the Patriots.
I'm sure.
I want you to know I have them immortalized forever.
2-14.
Shane said, Rich, it's okay. You're getting old. And first time Texas. So, Rich, the Patriots will only be playing 6 games against teams that finish with a winning record. And you wonder why they're hated. Jim in St. Albans.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know, but we're just throwing it out there, too. He must be listening to another show. But he just wanted to go ahead and throw that one out there. Oh, I love that. Brady, by the way, you're getting a little grief on the phone lines, too, so I love that also. Huh?
Yeah, Kyle called back in to tell me I was a moron, practically, and I said, Kyle, I was making your point for you. They're the ones with the morons. So.
I knew I was right. Somehow.
You were right.
I'm right somehow.
Even when you're not right,
you're
right.
Even when I'm not right, I'm right somehow. What's the mistake of the day?
Mistake of the day, you can get in 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms, Heineberg Drive, Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel, and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. So Paul Pierce is now getting an endless wave of grief.
Yes.
Specifically from the guys over at Fox Sports 1, Chris Carter and Nick Wright. On Friday, in talking about Dwayne Wade coming to the end of his career, at least in the regular season, Paul Pierce said he's had a better career. He had a better career than Dwayne Wade. Well, Chris Carter, he took offense to those comments today on Fox Sports 1's First Things First. This is what Chris Carter had to say today about Paul Pierce's comments that he had a better career than Wade.
Man, I watch people every day of the week say dumb stuff on TV. And Paul Pierce just puts his name right in there. Like, when you start comparing yourself to players, you open yourself up to be criticized and to be wrong. And in this one, he just compared himself to the wrong guy. In real time, when he was doing the show, if he could back on it, he didn't have to insert himself in there. This had nothing to do with him. But he inserted himself into, oh man, if I had Shaq, he had forgot his own past. Well, they did trade for KG for you.
Yeah.
And Ray Allen, they did get those. You guys were the original big three. So I watch TV all day. I do 15 hours of TV. I hear people say dumb stuff every single day. Paul Pierce, welcome to the club.
All right, that was dumb. That was dumb for him to say.
It was, and he's wrong.
No,
for Pierce or for Carter?
For Carter, because they always say insert yourself into the story. And I've seen him do it 100 times when they've talked about wide receivers. And he'll say, when I was a wide receiver, when I played, that's because he's inserting himself into the story. That's what you're supposed to do. That's being a good talk show host or being what they want from you. That's what you know, because that's who you are. That's the first thing, whether he had a good career or not. I'm not going to even argue that right now. But if you're supposed to go ahead and insert yourself into the story.
Yeah, but he didn't insert himself into the story.
No,
he was asked
himself
by his colleagues live on ESPN who was a better player, and he answered the question. I don't like the way he answered. He said, quote, that's easy.
Well, that's okay. You may not like it, but
I don't
know.
That just comes across as kind of arrogant.
I don't think he had as good a career.
Look, Wade versus Pierce is a bit of a toss-up to me, but... But, you know, for Chris Carter to say he inserted himself into a conversation when he was simply answering a question that was asked of him, it seems a little strange.
By the way, people are ripping Pierce for saying this. And I understand that, look, Wade's the bigger star, okay? Wade was marketed better. Wade came along just a couple of years longer, more so in the era of social media. He played with LeBron. He's lumped in with LeBron because of the same drafts. So, like, I get that Wade has the bigger profile, and Wade had 3 championships. Pierce only had 1, and Wade has 13 all-star appearances, and Pierce has 10. But I don't think this is as much of a landslide as people want it to be. Okay, the star power of Dwayne Wade is far greater than the star power of Paul Pierce. Wade, I think, likes it that way. He played the flashier role playing on South Beach with LeBron, LeBron's draft, all of the above. He'd been in the Final Four in college when he came out. We knew who he was from Marquette. So I think Wade has the bigger star power. Now, I think Pierce is wrong in saying he had the better career than Wade, because Wade has the accolades. Okay, 7 top 10 finishes in MVP voting, 3 championships, 13 all-star appearances. I think Wade has the more accomplished career. But when you start breaking it down into who's just the better pure basketball player, I don't think that it's really a landslide at all. I think Pierce is very comparable to Wade.
I think Wade had the better career. I'm not going to say it hands down.
Who's the better player?
Okay. Yeah, see, well, Dwayne Wade's the better player, too.
Let's face it, Wade had a lot. Yeah. His supporting cast was considerably better. Paul Pierce, the fact that he signed that long-term deal when he pre-KG, pre-Ray Allen, shocked me because he had nothing around him.
And this goes back to the fact why I hate arguments like that, and I will always say this. Okay, who's more accomplished, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers? Tom Brady, obviously. Who's better? A lot of people will say Aaron Rodgers is the better player, okay? But again, it just gets all of that gets thrown out by the fact that, hey, Brady's got more titles and more Pro Bowl appearances and X and Y and Z and Q and R and T and S. Like, that's why I hate this debate. When we look at just pure basketball stats, Paul Pierce was a better three-point shooter. Dwayne Wade, like 30% for his career from three-point range. Pierce is a better three-point shooter, a better free throw shooter, turned the ball over less, got more rebounds per game. So when we started thinking about really, really important categories in basketball, Pierce did do a lot of them better than Wade. So yes, Wade had the better career, but in terms of who is the better player, I don't know that I can't make the case that Paul Pierce is right in the same neighborhood as Dwayne Wade.
Well, Paul Pierce also had the one take me off in a wheelchair, bring me back over dramatic move.
So
I'm joking.
Yeah, but people won't forget that though. That's part of his legacy, unfortunately.
I'm joking about
that. But I mean, when you go your first whatever years and Antoine Walker is your only teammate that anyone's ever even heard of, you know, I mean, there were some pretty lean teams.
Chauncey Billups, I think, was on those early Celtics teams.
Wally Zerbiak, or was that before him? I'm trying to remember some of these guys.
I think Wally Zerbiak was there. Dana Berrios.
Yeah,
I
mean, from Boston guys. College.
But
Berrios?
Yeah. I mean, I just think, Dana Berrios. I just think, though, it's not the landslide that Chris Carter and then Nick Wright also make it out to be. I think, again, more accomplished career, clearly Wade. Who's the better player? I don't know that that's as clear. Look, Wade was, I mean, I think about it this way. If I'm down one with 8 seconds left, who do I want with the ball? Couldn't I make an argument that that would be Paul Pierce, too? Better three-point shooter, better jump shooter. Now, didn't get to the rim as easily as a guy like Wade did, but ball on the, or game on the line, ball in my hands, I could easily make a case that that would be Pierce over Wade, too.
Justin to Colchester, Chauncey was drafted by the Celtics. Brady, not sure he even played for the Celtics.
No, he and Ron Mercer went in that top picks, and neither of them lasted at all. He played for the Celtics for a little while, didn't
Skip he? Skip says neither Wade nor Pierce won their championships without some big-time help, with big-time stars helping them out. You know, I've always said this about coaches with Phil Jackson. It's easy to win a championship when you have Shaq and Kobe, Michael and Scotty. You're not winning championships with the New York Knicks right now, are you? Because they don't have big names.
I mean, first of all, if I'm Paul Pierce, I'm not thrilled my colleagues are hitting me with that question live on television. I mean, I understand.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I knew you'd say that.
Dan Patrick does that all the time when he has guests on. He's like, whose career would you rather have, yours or so-and-so?
Right, but the thing about Pierce is that his answer was, that's easy. You know, that just comes across as really arrogant, because no, it isn't.
And by the way, Chauncey Billups did play for the Celtics for 2 seasons. So for Justin to say he didn't ever play for them, that would be a mistake of the day on you, not on me.
Wow.
Can people win by picking other people other than the three of us for screw-ups?
Yeah. Because,
yes. I love when people bring it to the podcast, Justin. Bring it to the podcast and we can go back and forth. It'll be great.
Real quick, how many people, I didn't expect this last night when I was doing the show.
Oh my God, right?
Twitter
this is ridiculous.
Was inundated. With
inundated,
yeah, close enough.
Wow,
they'll be inundated. Grammar for 100, Alex.
Yes, thank you. I'll take that.
Right next to Finn,
with WrestleMania. Oh my goodness,
yeah,
man.
I haven't seen that yet.
That was disgusting.
I gotta watch that.
How many people go to WrestleMania?
I mean, can I ask a dumb question? Like, number one, what makes wrestling appealing? And number two, where are all these people that have come out of the woodworks? I have seen more people in the last 4 years tweet nonstop about Monday Night Raw and WrestleMania. Aren't there like 110 WrestleManias at this point? Like, everything is about wrestling all of a sudden. Where were you people 20 years ago?
Do you like WrestleMania like I watching Judge Judy or something, or like a good movie? It's entertainment, right? You know,
the last time I saw a wrestling match, it was Bruno Sammartino against Taro Tanaka and Mr. Fuji. So, and Chief Chase Strongbow may have been in there too.
Sounds like an anime character.
You could be talking about a movie. I'd have no idea. What are you talking about? Game of Thrones? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I need
none whatsoever.
I need one person.
Step into a Slim Jim. Yes.
I need one person right now to call in 802-655-6672 and tell me what makes wrestling appealing. Just somebody. Call in because you're out there. You were all over my Twitter feed. You were all over Arnie's National Show.
80,000 people at MetLife Stadium. Is that where it was?
And they had to pay for it. That's even more incredible.
Arash Markazi from Los Angeles was at there, and he said afterwards, Uber drivers were charging $100 to $200 to get people back into Manhattan or Brooklyn, and then people who had regular cars started walking around going, rides for $200.
Well, Uber sets the prices, not the drivers.
No, I know that, but it was so you couldn't get one, so people just started walking around and said, free, I will give you a ride back, but it's going to cost you like $200.
It's just, let's face it, and wrestling has always been this way, even since the Bruno Sammartino days. It's all about the spectacle. It's just the spectacle. They love the chaos, and when some guy goes on and attacks one of the wrestlers, I'm sure everybody in the place thought it was some sort of a planned joke.
Brady, who's on the line?
Anthony in Essex Junction. Anthony, do you have the answer as to why wrestling is appealing, please?
Well, maybe just a little insight. I used to love it when I was a kid, and I believed it was real, and I loved the drama, I loved the heroes, and I loved booing for the villains, and I believed it, and now that I'm older, I don't watch it too much anymore, but I know they're great athletes, and the drama.
When you mean the drama, like we're watching a movie that has drama in it, like Law and Order, is that what you're talking about, or what?
Yeah, not knowing the outcome. Again, more so when I was a kid, but not knowing who was going to win because I wasn't in on the script. And there was tension, especially going to live matches. I grew up in Minneapolis, and I actually worked for Jesse the Body Ventura.
Nice.
And I trained with a lot of the wrestlers from 30 years ago. I was a punk compared to all them, very small guy, but got to know it, and it was just lots of fun, the drama and the athleticism.
I appreciate the call.
I'll tell you, if nothing else, those guys put themselves through hell physically. I mean, you saw The Wrestler, the Fighter. What was that movie called? The Wrestler?
The Fighter, wasn't that a boxer?
No, there was a wrestling. It was with the washed-up wrestler.
No, I didn't see
that. And I mean, the stuff he put his body through, I don't know how those guys survive.
I met Diamond Dallas Page down at the Super Bowl, and that's where I got to learn a little bit about wrestling. Let's go to one more. Richard, tell us why wrestling is appealing, please.
I think it's more like a soap opera. It's just like every week, this guy, he beats you this week, and next week you want a little revenge, and it's if you really watch it, that's what it's like. It's like a soap opera.
Someone's sleeping with someone's wife.
They're not really, kicking him in the head and hitting him with chairs. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
These guys are the best actors in the world, and they're great athletes. You think they're really getting killed or something, but they're not.
Well, and then look, I appreciate the call. I think some people believe it's real because every time I watch a video of the Buffalo Bills fans, they're jumping on top of each other off cars on the tables and stuff that.
It's amazing. I will say that they put their bodies through hell. By the way, the movie was The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke.
I didn't see that.
He was unbelievable.
I heard
that
was a good movie, actually, but I had not seen that. Now I know what you're talking about there. Skip and Swat, wrestling is basically a soap opera with people that are athletically gifted and can act.
If I want a soap opera, I'd rather just watch a soap opera. Like, who's having whose baby, who's sleeping with whose neighbor, who's... I'd rather see that then. I don't need to see wrestling.
One of our football players who was on Jay Schrader's team, I told you about him and Forrest Whitaker, he's a wrestler. His name is Tiny. Have you heard of him? He has like cross-eyed. He's done movies.
He's 6'9", 350.
He's a pretty big guy. Yeah, he's pretty humongous. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
They said what?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle, 101.3, The Game. By the way, first-time texter, ratings and interest in the WWE is way down from where it was 20 years ago. In the 90s, Raw and Nitro would both get better ratings than Monday Night Football, no joke. Yeah, I think, I don't know much ratings on WWE, but I hear they were much higher. Oh. I don't know if they go much higher back then, though. I don't know the whole story on that.
Speaking of things that are more popular, did you see the picture yesterday of Bristol Motor Speedway from 2009 to 2019?
No.
2009, completely full, standing room only. 2019, like one quarter of the track full. Again, I don't know anything about NASCAR unless we're specifically talking about it, and I know to study it, but that's a pretty precipitous drop-off.
And this is the danger of building 250,000 seats in a, quote, stadium. I understand it's not a stadium, but it's it shows you just how big NASCAR was during that run, and they built all those huge places, all those huge tracks with a 250,000 seats in them. And you know, when things drop off a little bit, as they seemingly have, it's noticeable.
We're a football society. Rich, when we grew up, are the two biggest sports when we grew up are no longer relevant. How about that?
Oh,
this is where Arnie tells you. This is where Arnie goes.
Right here, I suppose you're going to say baseball.
This is where Arnie goes, oh, it's amazing the drop-off. I mean, the exact spiel, I believe, is the Masters, men's tennis, Kentucky Derby, boxing.
No, there you go. Boxing was
one of voice.
Yes.
Is that an Arnie voice?
It was an Arnie voice, but something's wrong with my headphones.
Yeah, that didn't sound good.
There's
something
different.
Wrong with the mic.
You disappointed a lot of people just now.
Boxing and horse
men's
racing.
Tennis.
No, boxing and horse racing.
Okay, so I was right. It's the Kentucky Derby.
Well,
there it is.
No, not the Kentucky Derby. No, just horse racing in general.
Right.
They used to be the two biggest sports. Now they're just irrelevant.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're the same age. Well, as of today,
Much older. But, much older than I am now.
But you're right. I mean, let's face it. Muhammad Ali was the king of the world for a long time.
Oh,
but it wasn't just him. It was Joe Frazier. It was George Foreman.
There's,
it was all those guys.
MME Now and all that. UFC, all that stuff's there.
MME.
Or MMA.
MMU.
MMU. Brady, let's get to They Said What.
They Said What?
Colin Cowherd says, hey, the Final Four was certainly controversial on Saturday night between Virginia and Auburn. But before you want to blame the officials, give some credit to Kyle Guy for hitting three free throws at the end of the game for Virginia.
We got so caught up on the foul or no foul, and it was clearly a foul, that we forgot that what Kyle Guy did was unbelievable. He had to hit three free throws to win the game. There was 0.06 left. And the kid walked up to the free throw line and went 3-for-3. And to make it worse, he was in a shooting slump. To make it worse, none of his teammates are around because they're on the other end protecting the other basket by himself in a 72,000-seat football stadium that's on stilts. They're trying to make it bigger. CBS goes to a commercial after the second free throw. Apparently, they had to make money. That kid went 3-for-3.
That was unbelievable.
It was amazing. Yep. Whether you think it was a foul or not, you could still separate the two things. Again, maybe the right call, maybe not. But Kyle Guy, that was impressive.
Clutch. And all of them were just right through, too. Not even close. You know, sometimes he'll hit the back row or roll in or something. He was great.
I mean, unbelievable. And you look at the amount of pressure that's under those players. I mean, look at the player yesterday in Notre Dame for the women's game.
Yeah, she missed one. But she won it for them the year before, didn't she?
Yeah. Yes, but I'm just saying, you have somebody that's been there before, who's won a title, who you wouldn't think would be nervous, who's a good shooter, who misses one that would have sent it to overtime, and Kyle Guy goes out and hits down only one, two, but three free throws to give Virginia the win. Look, a lot of people are saying it's the right call. I don't know that I would have called that.
Wow, I thought it was. Absolutely.
And I would have called
that. I mean, how many times in the last month last couple of months talked about how ridiculous the acting is on three-point shots? There was no acting there. He came down and hit him.
I don't think I would have called the foul on that also. It was a foul, but that doesn't mean you call every one of them. Just like
it differently because there's a second and a half left or whatever.
No, but
it was.
You would come here and complain if I told you we're going to call offensive holding on every play, because you can call offensive holding on every play. Then you're going to say, well, you know, use your judgment. And you know what? If we're going to do the letter of the law, then every time you put your hand on a guy with the basketball, if a defender puts his hand on him, I'm going to call a foul. You don't want that. Look, there was less than 1 second left. I don't want to bail somebody out taking a three-pointer. You do have to give him room to come down, but I don't think it affected his shot, Brady. I think he got it off.
Yeah, I thought he got it off.
Doug Gottlieb brought up a good point. If he was fouled on the way down, that's not fouled in the act. Maybe he should have been given two foul shots instead of three foul shots.
He also went straight up. I mean, he didn't go and try
to
block the guy.
And
the defender landed on him when he came down, as I recall. I mean, I was sitting in a bar in Portland, Maine when it happened, so I didn't see it real well. But, I mean, it looked like, we're watching it right now. And then he comes down. Guy never left his feet. When I say guy, I mean the defender.
Right. But he did slide under him a little bit,
It's getting to the point now where these guys were leaning into the defenders on three-point plays where you can't even play defense on threes anymore. You just have to stand somewhat close to the guy and put your arms up.
I thought it was egregious that they didn't call the double dribble.
And that I agree with.
I immediately got on Twitter and yelled, that was double dribble. Yep. I mean, I'm the double dribble expert. Brady will tell you that. I was screaming bloody murder. Or that they didn't call it. Shame on everybody that was like Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley that didn't recognize it at the time. Brady, who do we have on the line?
We got GK from, I think, Winooski. GK from Winooski, he wants to talk about this Auburn-Virginia game. GK, we got about 30 seconds.
Talk to us, GK.
All right, guys. It's from Richmond.
Richmond,
but anyway,
close enough.
I absolutely thought it was a foul myself. But if you back up prior to that, if they'd have called that double dribble, which they missed, I don't think any of that would have happened, and we'd be watching Auburn tonight.
No, I agree with him 100%. Yeah, but then people say, well, what about the pull of the jersey? And I said, that's subjective. Now we're going to start saying, what about this missed call? What about that missed call? Look, it was a double dribble. It was obvious.
Yep.
One call does not decide the game. I always will tell you that. Hey, one more.
Except this time.
It does not.
This time.
Only they the said,
Saints,
what?
Saints case.
It didn't happen there either.
I knew you'd
They
say
said,
that.
What?
Colin Cowherd again. Antonio Brown, have you seen just how far off the deep end he's gone with Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yes.
Colin Cowherd has some thoughts on that.
Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win their division next year and are going to have a great year. It's going to be the rebound year. Because over the weekend, Antonio Brown used to be a Steeler, went out again taking shots at the Steelers. It was a whizzing match between, you know, a Hall of Fame level guy, Antonio Brown, and a very good young receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster for the Steelers. The Steelers got rid of the right guy.
I mean, Antonio, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You got your trade, isn't right. You got your extension. Isn't that what you wanted? Like, just Move let on. It go.
Yep. I just want to know what John Gruden's thinking.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, what is it? What is, because you know what, and he's got that facial, you know, expression like, I don't like the way this is coming out right off the bat. He needs to drop it fast and think about the miserable season he's going to have in Oakland and then in Las Vegas. So that's what he has to worry
about. Wouldn't it be fun to have him hosting this quarterback show that he did that I thought was really fascinating with a guy like Antonio Brown in the room? I mean, can you imagine that conversation?
I'll tell you what, man. That Antonio Brown needs to shut up and play football. Tell you what, man.
You sound like Tony Montana.
I sound like John Gruden. I sound like John Gruden.
Gruden Monkton said, wow, or excuse me, WWE had over 80,000 people last night at Met Stadium, record number in that building, and has had over 100,000 people in Jerry's World a couple of years ago. It's not lacking support. Well, I know these things are big, but I didn't know how many people were going to be there last night, that's for sure. Hour one is in the books. Brady will come back, tell you what's trending. We'll get you ready for the top four and four. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Everyone is listening to the huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month.
All right.
This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on a rainy Monday out there.
Yeah, it looks like a Monday, and it looks like a Monday in April.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's bad out there. Got hoops tonight. Looking to work up a little sweat. Got to get out there. Run around a little bit. I feel like talking a lot of smack, so I'm going to bring out the
that's
smack
because it's national title game day, so you're in the mood.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be talking all kinds of smack.
So tonight. Instead of playing... I mean, instead of watching, you're going to play.
Well, like, no, the game's not till 9:20 tonight.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, that eliminates me.
You're not going to watch the national title. You'll stay up and watch the Celtics take on
Sacramento
at 10:15 or the Bruins against Vancouver on January 10th, but you won't watch the national title game?
No, I'll check in on the national title game, and if it's close, I'll stick with it.
9:15 to 11:15. Not too bad.
I couldn't care less who wins this game.
I'm more interested in one shining moment, seeing if UVM will get a part in the montage.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed at the finals, too. Not the sexy matchup, Texas Tech, Virginia, and all that doesn't really, you know. Yeah. Oh, there's some great storylines. No, not really. I'm not buying into the great
storylines. Nobody to hate either. I mean, how do you hate? I mean, if Bobby Knight were still coaching Texas Tech, but.
Well, some people I was reading Yahoo today, and they said that this is one of the more, has been one of the better tournaments because of the storylines in Zion and some close games, but it hasn't given you the buzzer beaters, which is why we love March Madness. It hasn't given us the underdog story, especially early on. It gave us some good games, obviously. It gave us the great finish between Virginia and Purdue. It gave us a couple of great finishes with Duke and with Zion, but by and large, I do think it's been devoid of general interest.
I don't know if the ratings are going to go down. Usually there's nothing against it anyway, right? There's no NBA tonight, I think. The NBA.
I think everybody NBA is plays tomorrow to close out the season.
NBA took the night off, so and there's NHL. Nothing going against it. It doesn't make a difference who's playing. The ratings should still be well. And
we do have a big Mariners Royals game tonight.
Yeah, that's obviously a big one. And you can't go by last year's ratings. Last year's ratings were on TNT, right? This year's is on CBS. And the it goes,
I think it's all on. No, I thought it was always on CBS.
No, last year it was on TNT or TBS. I don't know which one. And then the year before that, it was on CBS. Okay. It rotates every year. That's why they got Turner involved. They didn't have the money themselves. And they said, if you want us involved and you want our money, we get the championship game every other year. I was shocked like you. I'm like, wow. They came up with a lot of money to do that. So they had the championship game. That's why it's hard to tell ratings from one to the next.
By the way, I have a question about bathroom etiquette.
Bathroom
etiquette? Since it's my birthday, I can ask anything. And you can't be offended by it. I just walked in there to pee, okay?
To use the restroom.
And there's a big new sign that just arrived today. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
Saying, please, it says basically in so many words, please flush the toilet. I mean, we're grown men. Who's the culprit?
You.
That's causing.
You.
That. What are you talking about?
You.
100% of the time I flush. Who doesn't flush?
Why do we have something that you could smoke cigarettes in there and have the smell taken away? Somebody just put that in the bathroom.
Yeah, I was wondering what that
Febreze?
Was.
No, there's a.
I think it's a heater. Does it make you
it's
wonder?
It's an air humidifier.
Maybe it's something that cleaned up a disaster over the weekend, which is why the sign is on there. I have no idea. Maybe there were some plumbing issues.
I don't come on weekends.
I blame intern Aaron.
Well, that's true. He was around.
He's here on Saturdays. Yeah. Let's just blame it on him.
I mean, who else could have it been?
Mark T says it's easy to criticize refs, but go out there and try it yourself. You need to call the same game from the first second to the last second.
I can't wait for the Brady and the Bunch podcast on Thursday because we got a local umpire coming on.
Tell him he's horrible.
Oh, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna say what's
you're
the best,
horrible.
What's the best way to suck up to an umpire? Yeah. What's the best one you've ever heard? It's gonna be great.
Ask them why they're so bad at their jobs. I just want to know.
I heard two different people in the Portland Sea Dogs game Saturday yell, "You're missing a great game" to the umps.
I gotta use that one. I gotta write that one down.
The best one is one that is not suitable for air. I have a good one like that.
Well, let's hear it.
I can't say that.
You're missing a great game. I love that.
The nuts and bolts. Oh, yeah. We got screwed. That's a nice one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a goodie but oldie.
All right. So make sure would you guys please flush when you get in there.
Okay, we'll do that for you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
I'm glad you spent a minute and a half of your birthday talking to us about bathroom etiquette.
Well, it's important. If somebody's the culprit.
We need to get you a cake. I'm really hungry, or some pizza.
Pizza.
I'm very disappointed that we didn't get you anything.
I'm not a cake guy.
You can't eat pizza, but you can't eat pizza or cake before you play basketball. You'll explode.
I know. Taking
care of you like your wife.
I know. I will explode, but I'm starving.
So far, I've gotten my wish on this birthday, which is for things to be kept low. Like, Arnie wanted it all over everything last week during his birthday.
Yeah.
He wanted it. I'm surprised you didn't take out a 60-second ad on the television.
You haven't seen Facebook yet.
Yeah,
I have. There's 296 comments.
Wow. On the 101.3 The Game page, we're going to have some stuff for your birthday.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
I sit here and say, I don't want anyone to know it's my birthday, and yet I still, it apparently advertises that fact on Facebook.
You can hide that.
And I don't know how.
Well, sorry.
It's tough. I know that. It's tough to use technology
nowadays. I haven't figured that one out yet.
All right, Brady, let's get to the top four at four. Where we go. By the way, Trivia Wednesday, City Sports Grill. Who's hosting this weekend?
I am.
All right, Brady's hosting.
It's not this weekend.
This week.
It's Wednesday. Yeah. By the way, real quick. Your kid is now officially in the fraternity?
Yes, he joined the fraternity at Kent State, yeah.
Are you proud?
The fraternities are bad?
Do people get proud of their kids being in frats, or do they get worried?
No, I just said don't do anything stupid, but it's not like when I joined, where you had to get hazed the whole semester, and then you get activated at the end. I think you have like a month of nothing, and then they said, okay, you're in. You don't get hazed or any of the good stuff.
Take this as a criticism, but will someone please explain to me what the purpose of a frat house is?
Oh, so you can have parties.
So that's it. Just drink yourself blind every night of the week.
Right.
Which doesn't really sound like a bad thing.
And meet girls.
Meet girls and drink beer.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's twofold. I think in the immediacy, it's to get friends, right? Isn't that like just to have a camaraderie with people?
Yeah, but Shea was already a big man on campus, so he just joined because he knows most of the guys. So he said, I'm going
to
join.
And then two, after the fact, there seems to be some hiring practices in which it helps you to have been part of the same Greek life. You have an instant icebreaker.
Oh, right? I see. Yeah, yeah.
Just wondering.
Yeah, you were a Kappa also? Oh, dude, I was a Lambda. Like, awesome.
I don't know if they have a big Greek system at Kent State, but at Arizona, we just was more for the parties. That's all we did. It was all about the parties out there.
Alpha Pi Omega. I
asked my kid, do you have to learn the Greek alphabet? He goes, yeah, it's no big deal. I said, yeah, maybe the way they teach it to you, not the way I used to teach it to the pledges. I would make them hold a match, and they would have to say it two times quickly, or the match would burn their fingers.
That's great.
And they would never get done with it.
Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, I was laughing like crazy. Ah, burn your fingers again.
Hey, look, his finger's on fire.
It was funny at the time.
Well, I'm sorry I missed out on that at Linden. Oh,
it was great. See, that's how I taught you the Greek alphabet, but I guess they don't do the same thing now. Oh,
I just got drunk without my friends. Yeah. Well.
Brady, let's get to the top 4 and 4.
We've got 3 hours of show to cover every day, but here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top 4 and 4 on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game. Number 4.
Bruins closed out the regular season this weekend with a loss, 6-3 against the Lightning. I think they had a 2-0 lead in that one, too. Ended up losing 6-3. But then more importantly, they will open up the playoffs on Thursday. They are set for their matchup, second straight year in the first round with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So they'll get a couple of days off here, and then they'll get ready for Toronto to come to town for game one. Rich, are you excited to see another matchup with Toronto? Same matchup we saw last year in round one. Went 7 games last year.
Well, I'm disappointed, as I've said 1,000 times in the show, the fact that they have to face a team like Toronto, a 100-point team. So a pair of 100-point teams are playing each other in the first round, which seems absolutely absurd. You would think that they would have earned, you know, maybe a Columbus. I'll tell you the one thing I was bummed about is that and this is going to sound weird as a Bruins fan, but hockey needs the Canadiens to be in the playoffs. I was really bummed to see they just missed. I mean, you think back about all the games they should have won over the year if they just won one more game. But they lost out. Carolina and Columbus got the wild cards.
By the way, Toronto-Boston is the best first-round matchup. Yep. It's the feature matchup in the first round.
Yep, I agree.
Everybody's going to be wanting that one. Boston, a slight favorite in game one, minus 140, actually minus 150. So everybody else is either less significantly, except for Tampa, who's like more than a 2-1 favorite against Columbus.
Well, let's face it, it's Tampa Bay and everybody else. It really is. This Tampa Bay is sort of Golden State. You know, it's like, is it who's going to win the Stanley Cup, Tampa Bay or someone else? The field.
You really think that, considering Golden State's won three titles and Tampa's won 0?
I understand that, but 62-16.
It's a record, right?
Does
didn't
not
they tie
lie.
The record of wins?
Yeah. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's like 70s Canadians.
It's
records.
Insane. It really is. But Boston played them tough the last two times, right? Even though they lost one of them.
Sort of. On the,
well, they
the
were
weekend.
2-0 in that game before
they lost. They were, but boy, did the roof ever cave in.
It's interesting in this matchup with Toronto, too. These two teams are almost exact opposites of each other. I saw them, you know, referred to as the yin to each other's yang, and it's kind of the way it is. The Bruins are much better on defense than they are on offense. Toronto's much better at offense than they are on defense. Toronto has a hot goaltender, has a good goaltender, but not a ton of defense in front of him. Boston, we sometimes wonder about the goaltender, but we know there's a good defense in front of Tuukka Rask or Halak when they're playing. So, again, these are two teams with a lot of star power, but you don't know. You just don't know how these opposites are going to match up with each other.
Rich, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, I was going to say,
Rich, couldn't quite let you finish. I thought he almost made it.
I just want to say, Rich, who has a better home ice advantage?
Whew. Boy, I don't want to say Toronto, but that place is crazy. They're just nuts about their hockey team up there. They always have been, and they could smell it, especially when they got Tavares. And, you know, obviously Austin Matthews is already there. They're getting there.
So you say that's a better home ice advantage?
I would think it is. And it's horrible of me to say that because I'm obviously a Bruins fan. But I think Toronto gets about as loud as anywhere else, especially on a Saturday night.
Well, I would simply think that it's Toronto just because there's less teams there to get behind. You've got, the Raptors and the Maple Leafs, but in Boston, they're going to have the Bruins, they're going to have the Celtics, they're going to have the Red Sox as well, and then there's still the Patriots always looming over everything. So I think everyone in Toronto profiles to be a Raptors and Maple Leafs fan, whereas there's four teams in Boston, so you get 25% of the fandom instead of 50%.
Well, they do get into Canadian football, the Argonauts. I mean, that is kind of a...
Yes, but we're so far out of season.
Well, I know, but I mean, you know, they are big into them, and plus there are... Buffalo Bills fans up there in Toronto, too. There's a big... Actually, there's a good melting pot. You'll get Giant fans, Jet fans, Cowboy fans. You'll get a good melting pot.
I'm looking forward to Penguins Islanders, too, because I'd love to see, as a Bruins fan, the Penguins go away. The problem is that none of that's going to do any good because the winner of that Bruins Maple Leaf series has to face Tampa in the second round as the away team. Penguins Islanders has potential. The Islanders, both of those teams have been so inconsistent. They've been streaky all year. But never count out the Penguins. Blues Jets should be a good series full of goals. And Stars Preds, I think, will be over pretty quickly. Nashville looks like a strong, strong team out of the West heading into the tournament.
On the Bruins, again, one thing of note, Kevin Miller, UVM product, will not be ready for game one at least. Remember, he got hurt against the Wild last week when he slid into the boards. Pretty tough. We've got the video of it on 1013thegame.com. But Bruce Cassidy says he will not be ready for the opener on Thursday. Top 4 and 4 in the Huddle, 101.3 The Game.
Number three.
Celtics lost last night, and a couple of things happened in that loss. One, they solidified the four seed. They're going to get home court advantage in the first round against Indiana. That's good. On the not-so-good news, you get Jason Tatum, who leaves with a shin contusion, and Marcus Smart, who leaves with what is being called now a strained oblique. And that sounds pretty serious. So the Celtics do get home court advantage in the first round, but they lose to Orlando, and they lose two key players yesterday as well.
Yeah, I'll sum this up in two words. Season over, O-V-E-R. I've been saying this for a while. They won't get out of the first round. Now I'm more convinced than ever they won't get out of the first round against the Indiana Pacers. Probably will lose their home court advantage when they lose the first game to the Pacers. This is a horrible and then bad and then horrible situation. We'll see how it affects them in the playoffs, but I think they're going to be one and done.
If they are one and done, would you call this the most disappointing Boston sports season in a long time? I mean, I'm trying to think of another one.
The 2013 Red Sox won the World Series and then won 69 games in the next year.
Yeah, but I mean, they had just won. I mean, I'm thinking the Celtics' rise with Brad Stevens has been so incremental year after year after year. I mean, if you look at the wins, it's gone up four or five every single year. This was supposed to be the big year. I know the expectations set the bar very high.
Yes, they were.
But I just, they've been driving me nuts. And part of the reason, watching them every night, going nuts, is because of the expectations. You just expect them to win every game, and then they go out there and play like crap last night against the second time this year they've lost at home to Orlando. That's ridiculous.
Didn't we bring this up months ago about Kyrie's going to leave if they go one and done, that he's more likely to leave and go to the Knicks or someplace like that, unless they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, then maybe he'll stay? I don't see that happening now. I see more than one and done before they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Well,
that being said, I still think they beat Indiana in the first round. I think the Pacers are too banged up. No chance of Oladipo coming back, and they've played well against Indiana this year. I think they took three out of four.
Well, the Celtics have what maybe would be their easiest road now. Indiana, who you just alluded to all their question marks, but you get a Milwaukee team potentially in round two that we don't know about Malcolm Brogdon, what his long-term prognosis is, who's been out with injury. So now maybe you have an easier chance to beat Milwaukee. If he's not back, then you take your chances with Toronto potentially in the Eastern Conference Finals, or maybe they get knocked off early, has been their propensity in the past. So look, bottom line, yesterday's loss was bad, but the Celtics did rest Horford most of the fourth quarter, played with Daniel Tice most of the time. Kyrie didn't play the whole first half of the fourth quarter. They brought him back in late, so they kind of took their foot off the gas. And then the thing I'm worried about is Marcus Smart. When you hear strained oblique, I generally associate that, at least if it was a baseball player, with about a month recovery time, if it's truly that. Now, maybe he's 2 weeks or so, but I don't feel like he's in it for the entirety of the series against Indiana, which is going to start this weekend. I feel like he's going to need at least a week and a half to come back from this.
And who knows what the Tatum situation is. The Smart thing, you know how much they ride on him for these ridiculous shots. Although Daniel Tice took the Marcus Smart Why in the World Are You Taking These Shots award for the last minute and a half of that game last night.
Yeah,
taking
three
ridiculous no chance in hell three-pointers with his team trying to get back into a pretty close game.
When they were 106-106, they had multiple chances and weren't able to get it done.
It's like, and it's the kind of thing where you just scream. The minute he put it's like, don't shoot that, don't! And he did, and missed them both badly. But you take Tatum and Smart away, I still think they have a chance against Indiana. But after that, when the competition gets a little stiffer, you've got to have Smart and Tatum back in the lineup.
Good to see Jaylen Brown come back yesterday and play well to a degree. Hit two big threes, especially in the second half as they came back from their comeback. Remember, they were down 14 at one point with 9 minutes to play.
By the way, one of my cohorts at Fox brought up if it was all, everything was equal. Brad Stevens should leave and go coach the Lakers if he could. Get the hell out of Dodge. And go to Los Angeles and coach the Lakers and get the hell out of Boston. I'm not so sure that's not a bad idea. I would take that advice if I would. In a heartbeat.
Ain't sports talk grand. Let's just throw something against the wall.
You want Brad Stevens to leave?
No, I don't want him to leave, but I could see why Laker fans would want him. And matter of fact, if I was Brad Stevens and I had to pick between one and the other.
Well, you wanted him at UCLA, then you wanted him at somewhere else.
Yeah,
you
UCLA, what a debacle that turned out to be. What they embarrassing
should hire,
that was. Huh?
They should hire your cousin or your brother who found David Nwamba.
Yes, David Nwamba gets guys in the NBA.
Remember, this is where he tells us the story about how, I walked into UC Riverside and they threw me out.
No, Northridge. I got you that one. Northridge.
These coaches don't know what the hell they're doing. It disgusts
Come on.
Me.
Get top, that one right.
Top four and four in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number two.
NCAA title game tonight. We have it for you, 6:30 right here on 101.3 the game. Texas Tech and Virginia. More importantly than anything that happens on the court, it's nice to know that, Rich, you cannot win our 101.3 The Game Bracket Challenge. You are in second place. You will remain in second place. You will not finish first. You will not pass go. You will not get the $101. And all of your cackling last Monday about how great you were has come back to bite you in
loser.
The ass.
Loser.
So loser, I
yes,
believe I'm
loser.
Currently in second place
nope.
with still a chance.
You finish in the same place as me after behind first
yes.
is where you finish.
Second place.
Behind
all
first.
Because of Michigan State.
Second or second 100 doesn't make a difference.
I mean, at least the guy who's ahead of me is a great guy. Jim Lowe, a sports writer at the Times-Argus down in Barrie, Montpelier, and he is in first place. I still don't get, I guess if he's in first and I'm in second and we both have Virginia to win.
Correct. You
which
cannot
I do,
pass him.
I still can't pass him.
Nope, you can't.
What if I hit the score right on the button? It doesn't matter because they're not playing Michigan State.
It wouldn't matter because he's got two more points than you do.
What if I get the title, the team right, and
score
the score
means nothing.
Right?
That's just a tiebreaker.
Yep, means nothing.
Wow, you would think I'd get some sort of bonus
no,
points.
No bonus.
For picking the exact right score.
I'll give you a pat on the back. What was your prediction of score?
I took Virginia 66, Michigan State 63.
Good score.
Well, that's not a bad score, but did you see the over-under is of historically low
yeah.
proportions here? I mean, that's the thing I'm most interested in is how much offense do we get? So the line is 117.5 in some places, 118 in others, but it's by far the lowest total in a title game since 85 Villanova Georgetown. And oh, by the way, that was the year before the shot clock came into play. So this is the lowest over-under of the shot clock era in NCAA history.
And yet the women's game is in the 80s. And yep. the men's game, it could be in the 50s. Well, so figure
game?
That out.
How about huh? that Baylor game yesterday? Oh, that poor girl from Notre Dame.
I am so pumped for this game today just because of the nuance of it. I mean, are we going to see a 49-45 title game like Vegas is telling us is possible? Or are we going to see two teams blow it out and get to 70 to 66?
Yeah, but that doesn't pump me up. I don't care about that. If it's a low-scoring game, even if it's close, I'm going to be bored.
I got a $10 parlay on this one.
Oh, that's
one.
Right.
I'm
you got
interested.
A $10 parlay. But
I don't care if it's 28-27 because you know what? That means it would be close. I just want it to come down to the last 30 seconds.
I'm going to be bummed out if it's one of those like 42-40 games or something. I'll be real bummed out about that.
$10 parlay? Texas Tech plus one and the over 118. That's what I got.
From the guy who won how much money this weekend?
I won a little bit. We'll talk about that. But Jay Billis, he was on ESPN radio today. He was talking about if he thinks we're going to see a 49-45 slugfest.
All this stuff about slow pace and low scoring, it's not like we're back in the late 70s where there's no shot clock and there's no three-point shot. I mean, that was a different era. These guys can play fast, and they can put points up. I think it's going to be low scoring just because these two teams are so good defensively. But I don't think we're going to see either team holding the ball. They're going to try to score.
Of course they're going to try. It's just a question if they're going to be able to get past each other.
Way to break that down. I think they're going to try to score. So I actually think one team is going to try to win the game. I like this. Andy and Jericho busted me. Arnie just said second or second 100 doesn't matter. I did say that. I meant to say second or 200 doesn't matter.
Well, that's pretty nitpicky.
Well, he got me on that.
Wow.
And Justin Cole, just Arnie, if you were the main event of the next WrestleMania, would you walk out on the Arnie song in your Speedo?
Ugh.
I guess for millions of dollars, I'll do anything on that. So it doesn't matter.
Top four in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number one.
Well, the Red Sox, they stunk up the joint yet again this weekend. So they're now 3-8. They did salvage the series yesterday in Arizona by winning 1-0, getting some good pitching from the bullpen day. Hector Velasquez threw three scoreless innings. Then they went over to Walden and Barnes and Brazier, and they end up getting the win. So they do win it 1-0. But the home opener looms tomorrow, and
yes.
He's hoping that they can turn around a 3-8 start and really get this thing going.
They will be fine. Four words to live by, Red Sox Nation.
Why did you tell us they were going to be off to a 3-8 start?
I had no idea
that
the pitching was going to be
this awful. How do you know
they're
going to be fine? If you didn't know that this was going to happen, how do you know they're going to be fine?
Because they won 108 games, whatever it was last year, 119, if you include the playoffs, with essentially the same roster as the one they have out there.
If your card doesn't start.
Are you telling me that all 25 guys on that team, all their player the abilities have gone down the chute in 1 year?
Just because your car started yesterday, if it doesn't start today, that doesn't mean it's going to be fine. That means something happened to it, and now you've got to spend a lot of money to fix it.
So you're
something
saying wear
has happened
and tear?
Something's happened to the Red Sox, and you may have to spend a lot of money to fix it.
Listen,
I don't know.
They're 3-8.
Look, there's only been 11 games. If they were 3-30, I'd say they're 3-30, but okay, there's only been 11 games.
If they go 3-30, then we'll talk.
Okay, I got to wait another month.
Look, I do think that they'll be fine, but again, at what cost? How far back are you going to be before that happens? Tampa Bay is playing well. They have by far the best ERA in the majors right now. So if they get out to a 5-6 game lead in this early month of April, that is difficult for you to come back from. So again, it feels different to me than a slow start in the NHL or NBA because half your league makes the playoffs in those leagues. That doesn't happen in baseball. You get five teams in the playoffs. You can't afford to be in 10th place for a while. You can't afford to be in 9th place for a while or 7th place. You need to be in a position early and be able to maintain that throughout because the odds that you're coming back from a 10-game deficit after April, they're not that good.
And it's not like they're the Yankees that have like a gazillion injuries waiting for these guys to come back. It's the Red Sox who have no injuries.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's the Yankees. That was impressive yesterday. All the healthy guys are hitting the bleep out of the ball, so that's good. But look, as long as the Yankees right now are only 5-4, and I know they're on a roll, and now they've got Houston for the next three games, so that's going to be a tough series. As long as Boston can get back into some winning ways, win a couple of series in a row at home, they should be fine. I'm not the least bit nervous.
I just want to read this real quick. Jim and Barry says, I destroyed birthday boys win in your bracket. You guys got beat by a guy who covers high school hockey in Barry. So what's my prize? What's my prize? I'm going to answer that. Read everybody's.
Wow, with that attitude, I got a prize for you,
no,
Jim.
No. I got a good. That's from Jim Cervantes. Did I get that right? That's his name? He works at another station. Remember when I told you I won?
I thought it was Jim Lowe. Maybe that's his real name. Maybe that's his pen name.
Remember when
I
told you I won a bracket?
Yes.
I won it on his radio station, and he was supposed to send me the Vermont jersey for the hockey team, and he never did. Never got. That's when I was working nationally in Chicago. And he says, yeah, we want you to enter because they were carrying my show. I won it, and I never got my jersey. So that's your prize, my friend. That's what you're getting. There you go. When I get my prize, you get yours. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Are you good?
I'm good.
I
feel better.
Is it wrong that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won't be at the Red Sox opener tomorrow when the Patriots are honored?
What a spit in the face to the Red Sox.
Oh,
in
stop.
The auto, 101.3 the game.
All right, so you have an Amazon Echo. Just ask your Echo device to enable 101.3 the game. Then anytime you want to listen, just say, open 101.3 the game. The huddle is back on 101.3 the game.
All right, just on a little side note, this coming in probably 30 minutes ago, Aunt Becky and Felicity Huffman, did I get that right? Both will plead, or both have pled guilty.
Aunt Becky.
I think they'll be okay.
They're going to do jail time.
Yeah, for how long? Your buddy, you wasted 5 minutes of our time telling us about Craig Carton on Friday. He only got 3.5 years.
That's kind of severe. He's going to have to do 80% of that 3.5 years.
Okay, so I think what are they going to get, 6 months?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say a year, and then you'll have to do 6 to 8 months. So I don't know if they really should do jail time. I'm starting to get a little disgusted the way we're making such a major thing about it. I know people are disgusted about what they did, but they're pleading guilty. I don't know if jail time is really the best thing here.
Their life is in ruins. I don't think they need
to
go to jail.
No, it's not in ruins. Because the best thing that ever, if they go to jail, because nobody knew Aunt Becky anymore except from the Netflix thing.
I did.
She's going to come back. There's going to be a movie about how she went to prison, and now she's going to make a gazillion dollars when she gets out. That's what's going to happen.
Aunt Becky goes to prison.
Yes, Aunt Becky goes to prison.
I'd watch that.
We're done here. By the way, if you say aunt instead of aunt, I have a problem with you.
Now, is that what do they say up here? I've always said aunt.
No, it's Aunt Becky.
It's definitely aunt.
Come on now.
Just like it's Oregon, not Oregon. Just like it's New Orleans, not New Orleans.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that.
Who are the Giants playing this weekend? Oh, yeah, they're on the road at New Orleans. No, they're playing New Orleans.
Jaguar. Come on now. What's wrong with you? Speak English. I don't say French bread. It's French bread, right? Go ahead, Brady. What's going on?
Whenever he doesn't know what to say, Brady, you
well,
talk.
I was going to say Rams fan Ralph wants to wish you happy birthday. He's been listening since the morning mess.
Oh.
Have a cigar and a beer and many, many more.
Have a cigar. Great Pink Floyd song. Heard that one Saturday night.
Oh, mistake of the day you could get in thanks to Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and corporate gifts. Get your money noticed, or get your company noticed, rather, with your company logo on shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, blankets, and more with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. I do want to start here. So tomorrow, Red Sox home opener. Red Sox are taking on the Blue Jays. We have it for you, 1 o'clock, all the ceremony, everything. They're getting their rings. So the big ado for the Sox home opener. They are also honoring the Patriots in their championship that day. And the Patriots are essentially stiff-arming the Red Sox and sending nobody. Okay, Robert Kraft's not going. Bill Belichick's not going. Tom Brady's
Gronk's
not going.
Gronk, the retired one.
Do we know that that's true?
No, I read that he said he was going, but he could always back out of the last
Stephon
minute.
Gilmore is the only current member of the Patriots that they have confirmed will actually be there.
Mm. Oh, okay, so this changes things, what you just said. I didn't realize there was an actual ceremony honoring the Patriots.
Yes,
All right, that changes my opinion completely, because I was like, who cares? Why do we need to care that the Patriots aren't going to be there?
Well,
turns out they probably should.
Yeah, they are. The Red Sox are honoring the Patriots championship.
Okay.
And Gilmore is the only confirmed member of the team that's actually going. So I ask you this and call in 802-655-6672. Do you have a problem with the Patriots not sending a big and prominent contingent for their honoring at Fenway Park?
Do we have no other excuses? Like, wasn't it this time last year that Brady was on some yacht, or was that later on in the summer? I don't even remember when he was playing football and all that.
I'm sure they're all on yachts.
Because I'm like, is he on vacation now? I don't know where he is. You would think he's on vacation.
They're all in some very warm paradise of an island somewhere.
And Kraft's probably in Florida. And doesn't Belichick have a house on the Keys too, fishing and stuff, or no?
Am I sure? Why not?
Nantucket, I know.
Okay, because I know he's a fisherman, right? He does fish. So if these guys are on their personal time and it's vacation, it's not that big of a thing. Sure, it'd be nice to have them at the ceremony, but you know, you got to respect their personal time and space, especially Tom Brady. When this guy needs a vacation,
so you don't think they should be there tomorrow?
I think they look. It'd be nice if they were there, but I'm not going to make a big thing about them not being there. I don't think it's the end of the world.
What about the possibility that somebody didn't make any? Shouldn't you make phone calls to confirm certain guests before you go out and make a decision to promote? You know, to make this happen. I mean, shouldn't you get the Patriots first and then say you're having the celebration?
I don't know. I have multiple questions on this. One, why do the Patriots need to be honored on opening day? Couldn't they do this in May? Couldn't they do this in June? Couldn't they do this when we're at some part of OTAs or some part of training camp, when more members of the team are actually around and in Boston? That was my first question. Yeah. Why does this have to be done tomorrow?
Or when you play Baltimore.
Why does it have to be done tomorrow? Why can't it be done at a time when more Patriots are actually in town and they're not potentially having to fly in from other places? Look, I don't have a problem with Brady not being there. Brady was there in 2017. He's done it before. He's done it multiple times before. And the Patriots honored the Red Sox on November 4th, the week they played Green Bay.
Right.
And the Red Sox brought a big contingent, but you know who wasn't there? Mookie Betts wasn't there. So if Mookie Betts isn't going to be at the Patriot game, Tom Brady, I don't think, needs to be at the Red Sox game.
Yeah.
I think that's an eye for an eye. I'm fine with that. And Robert Kraft, excuse him because of his legal issues. Bill Belichick should be there. That's the one that bothers me. Alex Cora was at the Celtics game when they did this. Alex Cora was at the Red Sox game when they did this. Bill Belichick should be there. None of the coaching staff is there. We're told it's because they have a pre-draft function that they have to be at. But you know what? I get that, but I'd like to see Belichick there. Cora went to everything. Cora was at every ceremony you could have. Belichick should be at this one.
Well, I think Cora went to everything because he was a rookie manager. I was going to say, if Cora was a 10-year veteran, maybe we would be cutting him more slack and saying, look, he went back home. He's in the middle of a season, but if it was during the football season, he went back home. He's not in the United States or something. I mean, people have their time off, and they got to use it when they can. It's tough when you're, 6 months of a season.
That just seems bizarre to me. Isn't tomorrow supposed to be all about the Boston Red Sox 2018 World Champions?
Yeah.
And don't take this wrong, but it's like Patriots did it, had the parade, go. See ya. Thank you for an amazing, magical season. It just, I don't understand why you have to involve the Patriots in a baseball home opener.
That's what Adam
celebrating.
Says.
I mean, if the Patriots had won and the Red Sox hadn't been world champions last year, absolutely, go for it. Have a ball. Yeah. Bring the Pats in. But it just feels like we've kind of moved on from what the Patriots did.
Well, look, I think that the Patriots should be honored there. I don't know why it needs to encroach on opening day. And again, and I read this, and it's not, I've said it now three times in the last 5 minutes. It's not an original thought. I saw this somewhere else, and it's right. Why OTAs start? The offseason program starts next week. That's the other thing. The offseason program for the Patriots starts next week. So are you going to bring Tom Brady in from wherever for one day to send him back for a couple of days just to come back next week? Why couldn't this be accomplished next week or in 2 weeks when the offseason program is going on and you've got guys that are actually in the area and they're all already here rather than coming in for one day only event?
Yeah, but Tom doesn't go to OTAs anyway, does he? But
he's been every year except last year. I think he's going to be there this year.
Oh, I'll disagree with that. I think he's not going to go. But that's for another topic out there. The problem is there's not enough big stars on the Patriots that you want other than Tom. You got to ask for the owner and the coach because who else do you want out there? Right. Maybe Sony Michel. Otherwise,
I wouldn't know
anybody if they were serving me breadsticks at the Olive Garden. I wouldn't want out there.
I disagree with that.
Stephon Gilmore is like, that's the big name. Who do you want out there? Who's the big name other than Brady and that's going to have the crowd in
Edelman. Edelman.
Okay, I'd say Edelman's an exception, but everybody else. If Stephon Gilmore walked into this room right now, I'd have no idea who it was.
You would know exactly who he was. He'd be the guy with the long hair.
I would shake his head and go, hey, Steph, what's up?
I'd say, hi, thanks for being here. Did you win a prize or something? That's literally what I'd say.
If I'm a Patriots fan, or if I'm a Patriots Red Sox fan, I'd want to see any of the following. I'd want to see Brady. I'd want Gronk to be there.
Right.
I'd want Michelle to be there. I'd want James White to be there. I'd want Burkhead to be there for scoring the game-winning touchdown in the AFC title game. I'd want Hightower there. I'd want Malcolm Butler. I'd want Patrick Chung. I could give you 10 guys that I would want.
Yeah,
there
they're all on the Patriots. I don't know if I'd want them there, but yes, they all are on the Patriots.
Matthew Slater, they should all be there.
Slater would be. Matthew Slater,
Tom Brady.
I don't know. It just seems strange to me that this is happening during a World Series celebration. I understand they're trying to push City of Champions, City of Heroes, blah, Boston Strong. I understand that, but you're right. I mean, the part I agree with you is why not do it on another night? Why not do it on a slow-moving Tuesday night? Although that won't work for the players, probably.
I guess the
reason... It is a slow-moving Tuesday.
In July.
I guess part of the reason is that they think this is the best time for the Patriots' schedule. You're not doing it in the next 3 weeks because you got the draft. People are going to be out of town and everyone's going to be busy on draft prep. Then you're going to have... You're going to get to the point where the players are going to go away again, and then you're going to get training camp, and then they don't think they can do it then. But I disagree. I think you could do this later in the summer, and it would be fine.
Well, in Plattsburgh said Kraft and Belichick should be there. We know why Kraft shouldn't go. He's not making a lot of public appearances after. He's got to still get his legal things situated.
Belichick
right?
should be there. And that's the one I said. I'm okay with Brady not being there. Mookie wasn't at the Patriots game. I don't think Mookie was at the Celtics game either. So if you're not going to send Mookie around on the gamut, the Patriots don't need to send Brady back. But Belichick should be
there. Could you imagine if Kraft calls up Bill, I need you to be at the Red Sox home opener. Nobody else wants to go. We need somebody to represent us. And I could see Belichick going, oh, geez, are you serious, man? I got stuff to do, man. I don't got time to go to any Red Sox home opener. I got football to worry about, man. I'm not going out there. I can see him being all crabby and grouchy about it.
And what about this one? Yeah. This is Arnie, I'm surprised you didn't send this one to me because you live in conspiracy world.
Yeah.
So how about this one where the Red Sox owner, John Henry, is also the owner of the Boston Globe.
Right.
And the Boston Globe has been critical of Robert Kraft. So Robert Kraft is spurning the Red Sox because of their Boston Globe ties. That's the conspiracy making around. I'm surprised you didn't send that to me in your 108 messages
today.
But
that's very possible considering...
It kept me awake.
Not possible.
No, we just saw that with ESPN and the owner of the Cleveland Browns who is mad at ESPN. Who's taking it out on ESPN for a story that was written by Wickersham,
Seth,
right?
Wickersham, yeah.
So we've seen it right now. We've seen it in the last 6 months happen right in front of us.
I don't think this is happening this way because Robert Kraft, one, even if he is mad at the Boston Globe, one, John Henry is not a writer on the Boston Globe, nor does he set the press's agenda for the Boston Globe.
But that wasn't an ESPN article either. He didn't work for ESPN. That was an independent article that he did on his own, and they still took it out on ESPN. He probably had no right to...
It appeared on ESPN.com.
Yes, but it appeared on ESPN.com, but he's an independent writer. That's why people couldn't understand why the owner was taking it out on him. But that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother mess to get into, no doubt about that.
By the way, Adam in Ferrisburg, I think the Red Sox home opener should be about their championship. Make Patriots Day another day. And we've talked about that. And Ty and Swan in Canada, I won't read that one, but just let it be known he is back.
Did you read Mojo?
Mojo and Milton.
Happy birthday, Rich.
Who cares if the Patriots go to a Red Sox game or Red Sox players go to Patriot games? They're all superstar athletes. It's not like some local high school invited the Patriots and then got snubbed. Mookie Betts doesn't get all excited seeing Tom Brady. I disagree. I think these guys do like seeing each other. And I read a fascinating story today in The Athletic about how close-knit everybody is. And you know, Pastrnak, they think is the David Pastrnak, they think is the biggest fan of Boston sports of any Boston athlete.
Oh, how funny.
You could find him at any sport, anytime.
All right. Mojo also said, happy birthday, Rich. Great job on your bracket. Second place is the best loser. Thank you,
it
Mojo.
Is. The first loser. So yeah. There you go on that one.
I'm honored.
Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Antonio Brown is going nuts. Are you happy, finally, that he's not in New England?
We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
What's up,
Clay Travis, Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd. Sounds like a perfect start to a batting lineup. But the huddle is your cleanup hitter. Here to clear the bases, it's the huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game. It is a busy Monday, a rainy Monday. Stop clapping there,
A birthday Monday.
I can do whatever I want.
I just got yelled at because I said we should have like a calendar with everybody's birthday so we could buy pizza and stuff. They go, no, buy with your own money. We're not buying any more pizzas. I'm like, wow.
I buy pizza for people.
Yes.
So many birthdays.
Wow.
That would have been a nice gesture if somebody had gotten a pizza today, but oh well.
You know what? No. Don't do that, because I bring you gifts from the Super Bowl. Arnie and I don't even get Christmas presents. I bring you gifts for everything. So I said, no presents for Rich today.
Didn't they get you that Costanza shirt there?
That is true. Rich did give me an gift.
I got you one thing once.
And I get pizza for good ratings for us. And
that's all the time.
We get good ratings, so I buy pizza and didn't even get a thank you last time.
I'd rather have bad ratings to get a steak. Good ratings to get a pizza.
What?
Really? The scary thing is I think deep down he really means that.
You'd rather get bad ratings?
Oh, that is just a joke.
Well, luckily, for some reason, everybody seems to like this show. Even the people who hate it listen.
Yeah.
Even though they say they're never going to listen again, and then they're listening the next day.
I'm just happy. I'm just happy Ty in Canada's back. I missed him.
You were worried about him. Yes,
I was worried about him.
Between changing diapers, he's got his humor back, I see. Which is nice, because he probably hasn't slept in a month.
All right, what's going on with the Celtics? Because they're in deep.
Talking about Antonio Brown.
Oh, you see, you screwed that up, Rich. I said, what do you want to talk
without
about?
Without even saying a word.
I said Antonio Brown is acting interestingly. Are we happy the Patriots don't have him? That's what I said before we went to commercial
you
break.
You did, so I didn't pay attention.
Okay.
Oh, figure. That's a first.
I remembered he said that, but I just kind of blanked out there.
Antonio Brown spent his weekend ripping Juju Smith-Schuster and now getting into a back and forth with him. And got into a pretty petty level, actually, as far as Antonio Brown goes. And it was about a month ago that we found out that the Patriots were looking to acquire Antonio Brown. They had made an offer for him. Stepping back now a month later, should Patriot fans be happy that AB is not in New England?
Why? Because he's on Twitter? Like, you thought that if you were going to sign him, that he was going to go off Twitter for the rest of his life?
Because
you use social media?
Because you have spent the last 4 months telling me that Kyrie Irving is an unlikable guy.
He's very unlikable.
That the Celtics shouldn't want here.
Yeah.
So Antonio Brown is what? He's... looks like the perfect model human, and I should be racing to get him in New England?
But why? Was Antonio Brown saying something about the Raiders? Did I miss something here? Because that's what bothers me about Kyrie. He's not likable, yes, but I don't think he's likable to his own team. Antonio Brown is liked by the Oakland Raiders, and he was liked actually by some people on the Pittsburgh Steelers, just not Ben Roethlisberger and Juju Smith-Schuster.
I don't think he's liked by the league at this point. Well, people all around the league are ripping
I guarantee you, when the Raiders are 1-5 and he's got 14 catches, he's not going to be real likable in that clubhouse.
Perhaps you're right about that. Absolutely, but if they're 5-1, and he has 50 catches or whatever. Oh, my goodness, his ego's going to go worse than it is now, and that's almost impossible.
I can't think of too many players that I've cheered less for than I'm going to next year for Antonio Brown. He just seems like somebody just needs to smack him. I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Well, I wouldn't call for physical violence.
Well, I don't mean literally hit him. It's just a phrase.
I'm just saying, I think Patriot fans should be grateful that you're not, number one, that you didn't have to give up a first round pick and a third round pick or two firsts or a first and a second or whatever you were offering or were willing to actually go to if this was close to getting across the finish line. Be happy you kept your picks. The Patriots have 12 picks in this draft. Be happy that you're keeping those as you head towards the draft. Be happy you don't have the drama and the diva. Look, I'll be the first to tell you they need pass catchers. We've talked about this for a month, 2 months since the season ended, that they need pass catchers to help Tom Brady. Antonio Brown would have done that. But I'm not sacrificing the culture that I've built for this guy who, I mean, this stuff he's doing is just unnecessary. It's unnecessary petty grudges that now he's trying to bring out. And some things that we didn't even think were grudges that he's now bringing to the forefront. This thing with Smith-Schuster is completely uncalled for.
I think there's a chance that those texts or whatever it was he went through social media would never have happened if he was in there. I mean, obviously you can't stop him from doing it, but don't you think he might have sat him down and say, shut the hell up?
No, it's first of all, you said it, Brady, it's petty. There's nothing illegal, nothing obscene. It's just a very petty fight between him and Juju Smith-Schuster. So what's the big deal? He didn't say anything that like, oh my goodness, he said that Pittsburgh's going to go 0-16, or that Pittsburgh sucks, or Ben Roethlisberger is the worst quarterback of all time, or the offensive line did this, or whatever. He just picking on him and another wide receiver. We've seen Twitter wars before among athletes.
But Smith-Schuster didn't say anything. This was all because Steelers posted that, I don't know, Juju was the most valuable Steeler of the year or something. Juju Smith-Schuster, he didn't say anything to Antonio Brown or about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown commented on the Steelers post and said, this guy fumbled away our season and now you're praising him, essentially. It's just unnecessary, and the Patriots don't need that kind of drama. Now, Rich, I think it's too simplistic to say simply that, oh, the Patriots would have put the kibosh on any weird behavior that Brown would have. No, I don't think so. This is who Antonio Brown is, and could he temper it for a bit? Sure. Was it going to come out eventually? Yes.
But does it ever come out when, I mean, who does that on the Patriots? I mean, I can't think of anything where you got in these wars back and forth.
The Patriots haven't brought in people like that.
They brought in bad people.
But they've brought in some bad people, but it just doesn't seem like you ever hear about this. This seems like a Pittsburgh thing.
Patriots
it really
players,
does.
No matter, look, the Patriots have had some people with lower character. They've had some people with some legal issues. They haven't had people who are this personality driven in their own way. Okay,
Randy Moss.
I mean, if Twitter had existed in 2007, then maybe Randy Moss would look like Antonio Brown.
Yep.
But it didn't. Okay, and you can't base all of your personnel decisions on this. But do you really want Antonio Brown in the same room as Josh Gordon? Is that the kind of role model you want around Josh Gordon as he attempts to come back again? No, I don't.
If you're going to stay away from everybody that's got an attitude, you're going to be staying away from a lot of people, my friend, especially in professional
sports. Antonio Brown, is it worth? I mean, as a fan, I still say, you know what? 110 catches and 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. Do what you want.
If Tom Brady had,
no, you would not say that. That is absolutely a lie.
If he was a Patriot.
It's absolutely a lie. You're calling
you don't think I'd be happy with a performance of a guy doing that for the New England Patriots? I'd be thrilled.
Kyrie averages 24-8, and you're calling for his head to be gone,
too. All I've done is defend Kyrie from day one this year. He's the best player on the floor every single night, and he's the reason they've won half their games.
If they let Kyrie walk in free agency, you'd be happy about it.
I disagree. When did I ever say that? I've always been a defender
of
Kyrie. That's not a good example.
You flipped on Kyrie starting about a month ago.
I think Kyrie is he's a unique character, I'll give you that. But what he does on the basketball court trumps over all of that.
You ripped him for not playing last week.
That I can't stand.
Doug and Milton, unfortunately, Antonio Brown is the biggest diva there is right now in the NFL. It doesn't matter. Does it matter that he was...
It doesn't matter who he plays for, this is who he is.
Okay, because that just moved. We're getting a lot right now.
And John says it's not a Pittsburgh thing, Rich. It's an ego thing for Antonio Brown. It just seems like the Steelers are involved in a lot of this stuff.
2 hours are in the books. Power Hour coming up next. Stick around for that. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Dan
on Echo.
This is 101.3 The Game. Man, that was a great weekend. Where do we even start? Who do we even talk to? You'll find out now on The Huddle on 101.3.
New England's going to take
The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. It is the power hour of the show. We got plenty to get to on this rainy Monday. By the way, real quick, Brady, what was the stat that Tom Brady said he's never won the player of the week in practice or something like that? What was the...
I don't know. He was reportedly upset that he's never been given the Patriot of the Week award.
I saw this one. You're going to love this. Here's a date that you're going to love. I'm pulling it up. July, if I could find it here, July 12th, 2015.
Okay.
That is the last time Mike Trout won the AL Player of the Week.
Is that right?
4 years.
That's unbelievable.
Especially with a guy that's the best guy in baseball, right?
Yes, he's the best player in baseball.
4 years of never winning the AL Player of the Week.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I saw that stat. I said, I got to tell Brady and Rich that. They're going to laugh at that one.
He's homered in four straight games or four straight games or something.
He must have won it this week because that's why the stat came out, because he hasn't won it in 4 years or almost 4 years. So he must have, or he's going to win it this week, because I saw that. And I'm like, wow. Talk about, you know, being overlooked all the time. That's crazy. That's insane.
That shocks me. You finally came up with a little tidbit that's actually interesting.
I finally gave you a good one there?
Yes.
Wow, look at that.
You should have saved it for the Last Story Standing.
Well, I got so much for Last Story Standing.
Right.
I got a whole bunch of good ones for that one. So you'll love it. By the way, Trivia Wednesday, Brady's going to be hosting City Sports Grill, which is in spare time. Come on by. Great crowd last week. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yes, it was.
It's really starting to fill on up. So get there. We do it from 7 to 9. So make sure you're there. $5 beers and $5 appetizer. At least $5. There's five different appetizers for $5. Brady did a little gambling this week, or what, my friend?
I did. I had a lot of fun this weekend and actually made out well. So I went back to Albany for a wedding and came back and a little tipsy after the wedding.
Wow,
not bad, but
shocker.
Ended up making some money on the late Final Four game. Then parlayed that on Saturday into a trip to the casino, the new Rivers Casino.
How was it? Nice?
In Schenectady. It was nice. It was small. Small, but nice.
Yeah.
And
what's your game of choice?
Three-card poker.
Not my thing there.
I ended up in the positive there. Let's put it that way.
I like playing blackjack, but so, I can see why people like poker.
Well, three-card poker was great. Let's put it this way. I played about 15 hands total, won about 12, and got the hell out of there.
Why?
About a half
that's
in.
Like having three potato chips and saying I'm done. I don't know how you can do that. Why?
Because I was up enough that I was like, I'm not willing to lose this. Like, I just want to go home with it.
That's like eating half the box of mac and cheese.
So I went in. I won. I played like 8 hands of 3-card poker, won 7. And then went over and played like 7 hands of blackjack and won 5 and called it a
day.
That's
when you're supposed to double and triple your bets when you're winning. Start betting like $1,000 hands and stuff like that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's exactly
what
you're
doing.
So it's
the guy who has how much money in your account balance for any of your... Yeah. Oh, no, that's me.
Yeah. that's what you do.
So it was a lot of fun. So I had a blast there. I did come away in the positive. And the people next to me were great, which was nice. The one thing I don't like about casinos is, like, unless you're like a really avid gambler and you go a lot, different tables and different games have different, you know, little symbols and signage that you have to use.
Right.
So if you screw up, some places will really hold you to, no, you hit the table. That means hit. So I did screw up at one point, and the guy was like,
"Oh yeah, sure.
Sir, you hit the table. Do you want to hit or do you want to stay?" I said, "No, I want to stay." And he said, "Okay, we're going to use this one for that." So
yeah.
I screwed up in a moment of nerve, and the guy let me do it, and I ended up winning the hand, so it was good.
Yeah, that's the general... You know, talk when you do that. I don't know how you get the hand signs mixed up there, Brady. I don't know how you screwed
I know,
that
well,
up.
I don't know. But anyways, I did. But Shane in Burlington says, Nighthawk and I went to Rivers Casino a few weeks ago. We'd like to be the first two listeners in a 101.3 The Game poker game, please.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a high-stakes poker game. I can see that already.
I'm already figuring it out in my head. So we're going to host it at Jake and Willison's house. Yep. He doesn't know it yet, but that's where we're going to host it.
Very cool. Does he have a big house?
He does.
Oh, nice.
So let's
Jake,
hope.
So Jake and Willison, he already said we could have a couple people over. I'm just adding to that couple people.
Oh, a couple people like 15, 20?
Yeah. Okay. So
that's a couple.
Free beer?
So Jake and... No, you're not playing because you don't know how to play poker and you don't gamble.
I'll bring the beer.
You could watch.
Sure, if you
say,
buy it, then you can. Yeah.
You guys playing cards?
Yeah.
Is this Go Fish?
So you, me, Jake and Williston, Shane and Burlington, Nighthawk, Sean Parker, sales guy Nick, and sales guy Jeff. That's 8.
That's a rough bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's going to be fun.
And then we'll get Big Mouth Burns.
Yeah. And then we get more listeners, too. Make a whole big party out there. It's going to be a blast.
I'll watch.
I'm setting it up. You'll be tired of it by about 60 seconds in, because good poker lasts about 8 hours.
Oh, I can't do that.
Is that a good card?
Yeah. I'm in. Come in for a good like 20 to 30 minutes, yeah. And then I'm pretty much done.
Arnie's going to be the guy who goes all in like five hands.
I'm in. Ooh. Look at my hand. It's so good.
You're the person that watches the guys playing poker on television for hours?
No, I'll watch a little of that.
Yeah, I can watch it. So I was playing three-card poker, and you get, basically, I won't bore you with all the details of it all, but you can bet the hand itself, and then you can have side bets. And I kept winning side bets, which is how I really started making the money.
Oh, yeah.
Like I had $10 on if I got a pair or better, you would get various escalators. So, like, one time I got a pair of threes. That gave me another $10. Then I had a straight, which gave me another $50, another $30. So just good things were happening for me.
We got to take this show out to Vegas. For like a good full week.
Yeah, I haven't heard that in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, now we're bringing that back up. I need to go to Vegas.
I suppose if I'm going to go to Vegas, I should actually stop in.
Yeah, yes. You never stop.
I do. I drive by it. I don't want anything to do with that place.
See, you should have gone gambling yesterday. Then you would have birthday money to take yourself out tonight.
That's right. To one of the many places that'll really be rocking on a freezing, rainy Monday night.
Does anybody want to hang out with Rich for his birthday? 802-655-6672.
Come to Wilson Central School. Watch us play basketball.
I just looked at the list of bands playing on a Monday night.
Slim Pickens, right? Slim Pickens?
It is Slim Pickens.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You could go to Orange Theory with me.
No. By the way, I went to the gym for hours today. Yeah.
I did my first ever Orange Theory class not at the Burlington studio. Gotta say, ours is nicer.
Yeah.
So that's why you should be joining Orange Theory. We have a great studio.
Wow. By the way, Matt in Burlington said $1,000 buy-in and I'm in. Yeah, is he a professional poker player?
He's from Texas originally, so they do it all bigger there. I'm good. I need like
$1,000 buy-in, man. If you can't take that, don't play.
Okay, that wasn't bad. I need like $20 buy-in. That's about it.
Yeah.
So you spend $1,000 just to play?
Just to play. Just but then that play. Means
that 12, sounds like a great deal.
If 12 people are playing, there's $12,000 there to win.
Okay. You can win a lot of money, Rich.
Not if you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Oh, you didn't know what the hell you were doing. You finished second in the bracket contest.
That's true. I almost won.
Have you ever heard of beginner's luck, Rich?
Yeah. Well, it worked this week. So you went to the Albany area. I went to Maine. Arnie, where'd you go this
weekend?
Nowhere.
Just stuck around here.
You went to sleep.
In my home in Vermont. That's where I just stuck it around here.
That was the wife, the kid, the dog, everything good?
Everything good. Nothing to complain about.
Your kid's in a frat now.
He's in a frat, so.
Wow.
You must be so
proud.
He's
ready to party and drink until he throws up.
Does he have a weird name?
No, I don't know his weird name yet. He hasn't told me. But, I could imagine what they're going to have to do. But he's not a pledge anymore. He's active.
What was yours?
They don't haze you.
What was your name?
It's just Spiggy.
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 Yeah, that's it. That's
can he be Spiggy Jr.?
No, not even close. No.
All right.
What does Spiggy mean?
Just short for my last name, for Spaniard. That's all.
Spiggy is short for Spiggy
Spaniard.
And I called you Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah, I had a lot of dopes in my fraternity. There were a lot of dopes in my fraternity.
I'll bet.
Brady, let's get to David Rice. What's going on? David Price, thank you. And Mookie Betts. What's going on there?
Who's David Rice?
Yeah, who's David Rice? I have no idea.
Well, David Price.
Yes.
He was talking. He was really upset, actually, this weekend, talking about Mookie Betts and talking about Major League Baseball's marketing of Mookie Betts. And he says as follows, market the African-American stars in baseball better. And the other players, everybody, market us better. Mookie Betts doesn't have a single commercial. He's one of the most marketable people in all of baseball. He plays for the Red Sox and he's African-American. Zero commercials. A very likable person. He could be the face of baseball and zero commercials. He just won MVP. MLB needs to step up. Does David Price have a point that baseball should be making a bigger effort to market Mookie Betts specifically?
What do you mean, just like having 60-second commercials for him? I know they're running that new commercial that has all the stars in it. I think that's what baseball's trying to do, promote all their stars, not just Mookie Betts. What more do you want him to do? And besides, there's a lot of times these guys say, I don't want to be the face of baseball. I just want to worry about winning a World Series.
Well, that's the key to me. There's a lot of stuff unanswered on this. I completely agree. It shocks me how little I see of Mookie Betts on television. He's almost never there. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. Seems like a great guy, obviously a great player, but Mike Trout's the same thing. You hardly ever see him, although he's doing that insane commercial where he's dancing, disco dancing with...
You're on an island on this one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Mike Trout is dancing with somebody in a commercial, and it's shocking because it's like, wow, that's Mike Trout. What's he doing there? But anyway, I agree. Wouldn't you agree that right now, it doesn't seem like Mookie's being marketed, but that being said... What if Mookie doesn't want to be marketed? That's the thing about Mike Trout.
There, yes, baseball needs to do a better job marketing all of its stars. But yes, you are right too, Rich, and I was going to go there as well. The players need to want that and be on board with that. And then there needs to be a fine balance between the two because, you know what? We crush the guy who is attention hungry and doesn't perform well. We now are crushing the guy who doesn't want to market the game. You have to find, like, so often when Antonio Brown is out there marketing himself, the answer is, dude, shut up and play. Yep. But then when the guy wants to only shut up and play, it's, dude, be more vocal. Be more out there. Yeah. So you have to find the right balance between being able to be marketable but also be good. When Gronk put himself out there multiple off seasons, people were like, dude, focus on getting healthy, focus on the season. We wanted less of Gronk, but now we want more of Mookie. We want more of Trout. The thing that I understand and agree with where Price is coming from is that baseball – and inner cities need to continue to work together. And they've done it over the years with the RBI program and things like this. But baseball does need to improve its numbers in the African-American community. And I would think that one of the ways to do that is to start to prominently marketing African-American players. At the very least, in heavily African-American communities. Because baseball, I mean, the opening day rosters have 7.8% African-Americans on them. That continues to fall almost every year. Okay, it's mildly higher than last year. But it continues to fall every year. And there are young African-American stars in this game. Mookie Betts, Marcus Stroman, Josh Bell in Pittsburgh. You've got Andrew McCutchen, who's a little bit older and an African-American star who's won an MVP. David Price himself. Like, the game does have a problem in attracting African-American players, and baseball needs to continue to market in inner cities to try to get those African-American athletes.
And again, I'll say, if Mookie doesn't want to do it, then he doesn't have to. But I think he also realizes that he's in an important spot here. He's extremely marketable. Good-looking guy. Very, very popular. Great player. But million-dollar smile. So, and by the way, it's Andrew Luck in that ad with Mike Trout. I can't believe you haven't seen that ad yet. It's absolutely hilarious. But as far as the Mookie thing goes, do you think this is a case that people just haven't come after him? I mean, do you buy into that idea, Arnie?
But there's not enough not enough sponsors that want him. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but why would you? I mean, Mookie Betts would be at the absolute top of my list if I'm in charge of a company and I want somebody. I want a
really?
Spokesperson.
Aaron Judge also.
Aaron Judge would be on top of my list because he's a New York Yankee and he hits home runs. That's who would be on top of my list.
I agree, but yeah. I'm putting Mookie right up there with him. I'm saying there's three guys: Trout, Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge. Those would be my top three in any whatever particular order.
You mentioned that they need to go ahead and get more African Americans in baseball, more so now than ever. Especially what happened just a couple hours ago, and I don't know if this is going to hold up, but the Trump administration just overturned that landmark deal. Now it's making it tougher. Now remember when Obama allowed Cuban players easier for Cuban players to come across. Trump now says that's illegal. We're not going to allow Cuban players in Major League Baseball, which...
No, I think there's a difference.
Okay.
Not that
Did
Cuban,
I mess that up?
I think Cuban players would have to illegally defect and all
okay.
that.
So they would have
and
to...
And the way that establish citizenship somewhere else and the way that they've done in the past. Whereas I think Obama and the Cuban government had been working on making it an easy go-between
right.
where you could get work visas, et cetera.
Obama had done that, I believe.
It was the Cuban government, I think, that wasn't okay with it at first. It was Obama who tried to bring it together.
But it was Trump that overturned it, though. So I don't know if that means we're going to have less players now or where exactly baseball is going to find their players. I don't know how that's going to affect them, when it looks at the best players in the country. Though.
Speaking of Cuban baseball players, you see Yasiel Puig.
Oh, gee, that was great, huh?
They're ready to take on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates team.
That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I love that picture they had out there. But I don't know if I agree with David Price. There's a lot of guys that Major League Baseball could market.
Really? But wouldn't you put Mookie near the top? I mean, doesn't he come across as just a charming, good guy?
Yeah, but you need more of that to be the face of baseball than just being a charming,
I'm not
good
asking
guy,
him
yeah.
to be the... I at least am not asking Mookie Betts to be the face of baseball. I understand that there needs to be an ad campaign designed in all places to help, one, grow the game, and then, two, help grow the game in specific communities. I mean, look, wouldn't it make sense if, hypothetically, Major League Baseball put up billboards all over Japan with Ichiro's picture, or if they put in Puerto Rico of Francisco Lindor and Edwin Diaz, or the Dominican Republic with David Ortiz and Pedro, etc. It would make the same thing in heavily African-American communities to market Mookie Betts, David Price, Andrew McCutchen, all the guys that we just named. That would make sense. It would make sense for baseball as a whole. It would make sense for baseball in those demographics that baseball is lacking and attracting interest in, or in demographics that they want to continue to grow the game in, whether it be in Asian or Hispanic countries or Central America or Canada even. So baseball could do a lot of things better. I do believe that ultimately, and we get a text on this, it does fall back on the players to have to want this right. and be okay with it. But you know what? Mookie Betts just giving his likeness for a billboard requires no extra effort on Mookie Betts' part. Mookie Betts wanting to go out to 150 charity things a year and wanting to spend 20 days doing commercial shoots, that requires something. But at least putting up billboards in various communities, that doesn't take a lot of effort on Mookie's or anyone's part.
Top Fair Tower, text line 802-655-6672 if you want to go and jump on in. I really don't know any Major League Baseball players that are marketed like the other sports.
Harper's probably the only one.
But I don't even know anything he endorses.
No, but you're right. You don't see a ton of
Under Armour.
Well, but you don't
Dick's
see
Sporting
as
Goods
much.
Commercials.
Well, yeah, but I don't like. I'm talking about like you know cars and, right. and stuff like that. I don't know. I just assume everybody supports like Under Armour or Nike or something. Everybody plays is endorsing one of those things.
Outside of Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning doing State Farm, off the top of your head. Name to me an NFL player that has some big national ad campaign.
Yeah, well, I don't know about
because Tom Brady doesn't.
Well, I don't know about a big national
except
ad
for the
campaign,
Uggs, I guess.
Yeah, but and also Antonio Brown was doing was it Pizza Hut?
They do the milk thing. You know, yeah, but he also guys were in the milk.
What was the commercial he did with the dance? Right. He was teaching people how to do that dance. I don't know what he was. See, I don't. A lot of the times I see the commercials, but I don't know what they're right. pimping. To be honest with
and
you.
And I mean, Dustin Pedroia on a regional level has done the Sullivan Taya ads forever. But yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, you see it a lot more on the regional stuff. You like on Nesson, you will see a lot of Red Sox players pitching one thing or another. But as far as you know, like a Geico ad or something, you're not seeing the Mike Trouts, Mookie Bettses of the world
but
out there.
Yeah. But I don't think you're seeing. Look, even in the NBA, okay, yeah, we see LeBron with Sprite. There's one that's big, obviously. We've seen that for years. You see a lot of milk ones. You know, the Got Milk campaign was big back in the day. But I don't think, look, what have you seen Giannis on nationally?
No.
Have you seen anything
well,
on
I think
it?
It's
yes,
still more.
He's sitting on a bench with some short little guy ready to take him on a one-on-one
oh, yeah,
or
yeah,
a game
I saw
of horse.
That. Right, I saw that
and
one.
And he just destroys him.
Okay, that's new.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't
yes,
know what he's selling
new.
In that one. What is it? Is that
I have
for
no
Pepsi?
Idea.
But
no idea.
I don't know what that one's
shows
for.
Shows you how well it works.
Bryce Harper does Under Armour, Gatorade, and New Era. And those we see that are national ads. And he's on the cover of a video game.
Yeah, right. Those are easy, though. I just assume every player is involved with one of those, firms one way or the other. That's a give me. It's just the national stuff. But you don't have to, you know, it's more actors and actresses, I think, that do the national ads than ball players. Yeah. At least I think so.
Yeah, the honest thing is Metro by T-Mobile, and he's playing horse against this hapless little guy.
Camp said, Cam in Highgate said Gronk does the Tide Pods.
Yes, there's one.
Oh, Chris Paul does the State Farm. I totally forgot about the Chris
with
Paul.
With Harden.
Yeah.
Harden's in a couple of those ads.
And Antonio Brown is the Pizza Hut, so I was right with that.
But it's not as big as we think it is, okay? And we get one, Dak Prescott's on the yogurt commercial, right. And Cam Newton was on yogurt, and Richard Sherman and Clay Matthews are in the pistachios.
And the Campbell's soup ads.
Just a lot of time we don't remember them. It's just not memorable commercials. Like, to this day, I still remember Mean Joe Green and Coca-Cola.
Right.
You know, if it's a memorable one, we will. That's, what, 30, 40 years ago
right.
we remember that
Well,
one.
I mean, the Giannis Antetokounmpo ad. I couldn't have told you what that was for if you'd given me $1,000.
Hey, remember, you know what time it is.
Yes, I do.
You know exactly what time it is. We have those Red Sox tickets for you in our 101.3 The Game Sox Box. You've been listening all day. You know what the word of the day is. Call in now, 802-655-6672. Be caller number 8 with the word of the day. These tickets are, I mean, these tickets are over $100 a pop. They are right on the third baseline. They give you the best sight line to the action at Fenway Park. We have them for you. We are the only place you can get Red Sox tickets. Again, over $100 a pop. Be caller number 8 with the word of the day.
Do it, 802-655-6672. That and Monday Mirage is coming up next right here on 101.3.
Clay Travis, when you drive in, and the huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Who won the tickets, Brady?
George in
George,
Fairfax.
George in Fairfax.
George.
People wanted those tickets. Whoa. The phone was ringing like crazy.
And I can't believe it. You actually got on and told all the people they didn't win and they should try again tomorrow.
Well, I like that. I like saying, you didn't win.
Oh,
you
is didn't that win. What it is? Because that's the first time in all the years here I've ever seen you get out of your chair for something other than to go pee.
I like to tell people that they didn't win instead of winning. That's my thing. Brady likes to tell people when they
you're
won.
You're awful.
You didn't win. Jeez. Sorry.
Yeah, that's kind of mean of you.
Wow. So you enjoyed that?
Someone's got to tell them the truth. Don't blame the messenger. Don't blame the messenger.
Well, we'll do it again tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Word of the day, three times tomorrow morning, once during Clay, once during Dan, and once during Colin. So remember, be listening for what that word of the day is, and to be calling number 8 in the huddle with the right answer.
Peyton Manning is the most memorable with Nationwide because of the jingle. Matt in Burlington, we forgot about that one.
Right, that's probably the biggest one of them all. Nice job, Matt.
They just don't use a lot of baseball players, period. That's just the way it is.
Mike Trout had a Subway commercial also.
Trout did have a Subway ad, that's true. But they used a lot of athletes in that commercial.
You saw Jeter in a lot of things for Nike, especially, but you saw Jeter in a lot of things.
Jeter, I don't know about A-Rod, but those guys are far and few between now, that's for sure. Major League Baseball, Tom in Salisbury says, logo above these three players, M is for Mike Trout, L is for Lindor, B is for Betts.
Oh, MLB, I see.
Yeah, that's very good. I kind of like that.
Very
that,
tricky, Tom.
That is. That's not bad at all. I kind of like that. That should be a commercial, no doubt about that. All right, Brady, let's get to Monday Mirages. Where do you want to start?
I want to start right here. Question number one, you have a problem with both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick skipping out on the Red Sox festivities tomorrow when they honor the Patriots. Real or Mirage?
No, that's a Mirage. I think, is Belichick in Barbados or something like that?
I'm sure he's on some boat somewhere.
No, pre-draft function.
Is he?
Oh.
I thought somebody was in Barbados.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
It's not, empty.
Look, he doesn't want to do this. This is not his thing. This is not Belichick's thing. He doesn't want to do this. Tom Brady's obviously got a very busy life, and Kraft's got legal issues. I have no problem whatsoever. I mean, come on now. You got other times to have these guys come over. They're busy people. You get one guy there. If Gronk shows up, be lucky you got Gronk and move on.
Aren't voluntary workouts starting like next week or something?
Yep, OTAs are next week. The voluntary.
So as you said in the first hour, you're basically asking these guys to come back to New England and know most of them don't live in Boston in the off season, and then go back to wherever they were and then come back again next week.
Correct.
So, I mean, I understand that, they're ball players and most of them have a ton of money and still... That's a lot to ask a lot of these guys.
So Mirage is your answer.
Absolutely.
I'm saying it's real. I don't have a problem with Tom Brady not being here. I understand the offseason program starts next week. I understand that the Red Sox didn't send Mookie Betts to when the Patriots honored the Red Sox, so the Patriots don't need to oblige and send their best player back. But Alex Cora was at everything that at all the promotional functions this offseason. He was there at Foxborough. He was there at the Celtics. Bill Belichick should be there. And I understand pre-draft stuff, etc. You got a coaching staff that you trust. You can be there for 3 hours. Bill Belichick should be there. I don't need Kraft. I don't need Brady. Belichick should be there.
If I'm the Patriots players, I'm not thrilled that they're putting us in this position anyway. What does this have to do with the New England Patriots winning anything? They've got their celebration. They had their parade. They've been there, done that, and it's done with.
It's for the fans, Rich.
So
it's
I understand
for the fans.
That.
Fans of the Red Sox are also fans of the Patriots.
Yeah, but you know what tomorrow should be? At Fenway Park, the home of the Boston Red Sox, the world champions, this should be about a baseball championship celebration.
Well, that's a separate issue, okay? That's a separate issue. You think that the Red Sox shouldn't have planned a Patriots celebration day on the same day as their celebration day. But the fact is, they did it. They're including the Patriots in the festivities, and the Patriots are, by and large, choosing to blow them off. I have a problem with that to some degree. I don't think they need the entire 53-man roster there. I don't think that everybody needs to be involved. I'm okay with Brady and Kraft not being there for different reasons. Belichick should be there. You can't tell me the most prominent person is going to be Stephon Gilmore, and that's it.
It's going to look pretty ridiculous. Somebody should have thought of that before they planned the thing out. But shouldn't you get some confirmations from somebody before you say, Patriots championship celebration. Here's Stephon Gilmore.
The six Lombardi trophies.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
There'll be
a lot more trophies than there will players.
Monday Mirage is on the Huddle 101.3 The Game. Your level of worry with the Red Sox feels different than your level of worry early in the season with the Celtics this year. Is that real or a Mirage?
That's real.
Tough one.
Because the Celtics, we already know, have been eliminated. They're going to be one and done. So that means the only have left to worry about is the Red Sox. And starting off 3-8, I'm not so sure that they're going to just turn it on like everybody else's thing and Rich keeps saying, I'm not worried now.
Nope, not at all.
The day you're worried is the day I'm taking off. So there you go. Let me know when you're worried. I'll take that day off.
He'll be back to 500 within a week. They'll win. They'll go 5-2 over the next seven, and poof, right back to 500, and let's take it from there. Look, I get the fact that they have to play.
If they go 5-2 over the next seven, they'll still be 2 under.
Oh crap! That's right. All right, 7-2 over the next 9.
Well, then that would not be the week that you guaranteed. So, which
isn't
one
there a doubleheader thrown in there?
They need to go 7-0.
I hate when math gets in the way of something.
Yeah, I hate that.
I felt like that was brilliant.
Actually, they really just need to go 5-0.
All right, forget it. The level of worry with the Red Sox feels different than the Celtics. I'm saying real, and I feel like. It feels different because I'm not nearly as worried. I remember when the Celtics were sitting at 10-10, and I thought, this can't be possibly right with this team. It's a different kind of expectation. I just thought the Celtics were a shoe-in this year. I don't think the Red Sox are a shoe-in to win the pennant this year.
It's real for me because I'm more worried about the Red Sox than I was worried about the Celtics. And because 8 teams in the Eastern Conference make the NBA playoffs. Half the league makes the playoffs. So you can afford to be 10-10. You can afford to meddle through at 25-18 for a while and 36-21. Like, you can be a little bit worse than we thought. Just get in and you give yourself a chance. The Red Sox can't do that. You can lose a division in April. Do I think they're going to finish this month of April at 5-15 and just be done? No, I don't. But you only get 5 teams that make the playoffs in the American League. The Red Sox have a harder road ahead of them if things start bad than the Celtics ever did, which is why I am more worried about them than I am about the Celtics.
And keep in mind, they have 11 more home games than road games for the rest of the season. I mean, I know that sounds trivial at this point, but it's not. It's a big deal. They always have very, very good records at Fenway Park. And I heard on the radio over in Maine yesterday that if they played 600 baseball for the rest of the season, that would guarantee them 93 wins. And with the way Tampa's playing, and when you've got Houston, you've got some of these other teams, you've got the Yankees, obviously, 93 is probably going to get you in, but no guarantee. The Mariners?
That's right. When you got the Mariners also at 9-2, baby.
Yeah, they are on pace for, what, about 120 wins?
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I thought you had something in your throat there. I wasn't sure what
that was. I'm just saying you forgot when you were listening to the AL Superpowers, you forgot one right there.
You are head to toe in Mariners, by the way, today.
The Mariners
might. Do you wear the pajamas or something, too?
I did not. The boxers, though. The Mariners might be
gross.
Mariners might be 9-2 right now. They might be 0-7 in their next 7, though, to get to 9-9.
Where are they hitting the ball? Wow.
Don't jinx it. No one needs to know. Question 3, Monday Mirages. I'm adding this one in here. Paul Pierce said he had a better NBA career than Dwayne Wade. You buy that, real or mirage?
No, I would say mirage, but I don't think it's that much of a difference. I still think Dwayne Wade is better and had a better career, but if I'm going to say Dwayne Wade is on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm giving him a 10. Pierce is a 9.5. That's how close it is. So it's not that ridiculous that everybody's making it out to
me. No, I agree it's mirage. I think that they had very similar careers. Wade won a couple of extra championships because he was surrounded by great players. Pierce was surrounded by Antoine Walker for the first 3 quarters of his, for the first however many years of his career. Then KG comes in, Ray Allen arrives, and he gets his championship. I just didn't like the it was the sort of arrogance and the matter of factness of his response. Are you better than him? And he's, of course I am. Really?
Isn't that how the best athletes think, though?
Yeah, but Dwayne Wade, I mean, show a little respect for a cohort. Or a will be, probably,
in
a year.
I think Pierce thinks I'm older. He should be showing respect for me. That's what I think. But look, I'll say it's mirage that Pierce had a better career than Wade, because he didn't. Okay, 3 titles and 13 All-Star appearances for Wade versus 1 title and 10 All-Star appearances, 7 top 10 finishes in MVP voting. Wade was more accomplished. Part of it, better team on South Beach, more glitzy, more flashy, played with LeBron, more marketability around him. I think all of that plays into it. When you start to break it down in terms of who's the better player, you can make the argument that Paul Pierce is right there neck and neck. He was a better 3-point shooter, better rebounder, turned the ball over less, better free throw shooter. He did a lot of things better than Dwayne Wade did throughout their careers. Wade had the better career, but to say that Wade is far and away the better player, no, I don't think that's true. Question 4, Rich, I'm only doing this for your birthday.
Wow.
And Arnie, you and I shouldn't even answer this because this one is only for Rich. It is Rich's birthday. He specifically asked for 30 seconds on the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, I thought you were bringing in a pizza.
So I'm giving you this one. Arnie, we're not even going to answer this. So, Rich,
really?
The Canadiens missed the playoffs by 2 points in the NHL. you consider the season a disappointment.
That's a massive mirage. Okay. I think, yes, it was a disappointment. They had a tough loss to Columbus in overtime that cost them a point, or I think it was a 6-2 loss. Yeah, they had the 2-1 overtime loss to Carolina late that cost them a point. But that game to Columbus when they got blown out by the Blue Jackets really hurt them, because the Blue Jackets got in, and the other team I mentioned that beat them late in the season, the Hurricanes, also got in, beat them out by 3 points. The Canadiens did not get in, but they had a really good season. They were picked to have 80 points this season. They had a lot more than that. I think they finished with 94, 96.
Only 4 points behind the playoff spot.
Yeah, two, actually, but yeah. They finished two behind Columbus and three behind Carolina.
I thought it was behind
Toronto.
I thought
Toronto. You weren't going to talk, see, and as soon as you said something.
Sorry.
It felt good to shoot you down, though.
Sorry.
But, I mean, they had a much better year. Las Vegas had them, as I said, at 80 points. They were past that on March 12th. They finished in the middle of the pack on offense. They finished in the middle of the pack defensively. Carey Price returned. Some great trades really put them back into it. That Max Domi trade, from Arizona, he had 28 goals, 43 assists, and he was also Thomas Tatar, who was acquired last summer from Vegas, sets a career high in points. As I said, Carey Price is back. They've got some good young defensemen, although I think the blue line is going to need to be the number one thing they address in the offseason. I'd be very encouraged if I was a Habs fan. I just wish they'd gotten in.
There's 45 seconds. You're good?
Well, I was interrupted for 15 of them.
Oh, I didn't say 15.
So that's it. That's all we're talking about for hockey for the whole show.
We talked about the Bruins in the top four at four. What we talked about Kevin Miller.
Okay, are we going to have like a preview on Thursday?
Yes.
Okay.
We got a guest coming on and everything.
Ooh, a guest.
So top four.
Wow.
Top four at four. That's when we talked about the Bruins. Monday Mirage's last question. Tonight's over-under is historically low between Virginia and Texas Tech. It's at 117.5 in some places, 118 in others. You actually think the game will go under the posted total, real or mirage?
No, that's a mirage. I would bet $1 million on the over. It's 118. That's too low of a number there. You got to hope maybe you get a good 5-minute stretch where they don't play great defense and you get some points, and that's going to put it over for you. I've got to bet everything I have on the over. That's where I'm going on.
I'm exhausted from all my hockey talk. I can't even answer.
Wow.
I'll go with mirage simply because that sounds low. But I don't know. Do they take too long to shoot? Do they just not shoot well?
The
why is it low?
The defense,
yeah.
Okay.
The defense. This is the lowest over-under ever inside in the shot clock era.
Okay.
So since 1986, this is the lowest over-under ever for a championship game. I'm going over just because simply, I mean, do I really think this is going to be 54-54 or 55-53? It's got to be more than that, right? Like, can I at least get to 62-60 to go over? It's got to be over.
You would think.
That's my name, Mirage.
Real quick, because I was thinking more about why Major League Baseball doesn't promote someone like Mookie Betts or Mike Trout. How about they do, and this may be the way to go, look at what the NBA does. I mean, you have Space Jams 1, Space Jams 2, you got Uncle Drew. Baseball movies don't have any baseball players in it, do they? They're just actors.
They used to.
Well, it's not true.
Not really. Jackie Robinson was an actor, but it's like...
Ken Griffey was in movies.
I saw Babe Ruth in something.
Like, be a real actor, like be a big part of it. Not just, playing yourself. I'm talking about, being an actor and
stuff
like that.
Don't you want them to play themselves?
No, you could play yourself too, but I'm just saying to be a real, not just to make a bit appearance like, here's Mike Trout and he's going to teach you how to swing a bat or something. I'm talking about being a real actor where you have lines and everything. You could play a baseball player.
Yeah.
But like an Uncle Drew, Kyrie's dressed up, there's makeup, there's lines.
It's like Ray Allen is Jesus Shuttleworth.
Yeah, there's another one out there. Yeah. Give me a baseball movie that had real baseball players in it.
Ken Griffey.
What movie was that?
Little Big League.
I didn't see that one.
Randy Johnson was in that, too.
Yeah, but again, were they, was it like real acting and lines and stuff
Ken Griffey
like that?
Had lines.
Okay, because you could promote it that way. Because, again, Space Jams, Uncle Drew, you get all those movies. That's the way of the future.
Please refer to it as its actual name, Space Jam.
Oh, that when I say jams?
Yeah, but now isn't there a second one, so it's plural?
Yeah, no, Space Jam 2
now. Still just Space Jam.
Space Jam 2 now. So, yeah, but
I tried.
They should do that. They should have like a baseball version of Space Jam, have all the baseball players in it with Judge and Stanton and Mookie and Trout and do a cartoon animation like that then.
Reggie Jackson's been in movies. Keith Hernandez was in Seinfeld.
Yeah, Keith Hernandez was in Seinfeld. That was a good one.
So there's one.
But I don't know, Reggie Jackson in what movie?
Something called...
Probably in the Brady Bunch.
Basketball.
Basketball.
Oh, basketball.
Sammy Sosa was in the movie Hardball. Now, he didn't have really lines.
But, I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Because baseball has the best movies. I mean, you'll see, like you mentioned, Rich, some basketball, like The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh at Julius Erving.
Yeah.
You'll see many basketball movies that will have players that are throughout the whole movie, former players. But I don't. How about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? When he played
Airplane. Oh, he was great in
it. It was awesome.
Roger Clemens was in Kingpin.
I didn't know that.
Is that the bowler with one arm?
Yes,
Woody Harrelson?
Yes.
Okay.
But do you see the difference, Brady? We can name the NBA players. We can't really name
Reggie Jackson was in Naked Gun.
Okay, that's the one. See, that was a thing. Yeah, you could do that. See, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe they should be in more movies and stuff like that. Maybe that's the best way to get their name out. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up?
Four-minute football fix.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your four-minute football fix on the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Yeah.
Here's your birthday music for
wow.
you.
Wow.
Maybe the greatest Stone song of them all, in my opinion. Nice.
Okay.
Wow, that made my day. Now I got to rush out to the car and crank it.
Real quick, for the ring ceremony tomorrow, Craig Kimbrell.
Throw out the first pitch?
No, he's not going. They invited him. He said he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to be a distraction. Should he go?
Yes, he should go.
Interesting. I think he should. I mean, how is he to...
If he was on another team and that happened to the team that is not playing, I would say, no, you don't go because you're on another team. But he's not on another team.
Right.
Yes, he should go.
How is he a distraction at all?
He said he didn't want to go because he didn't want to be a distraction because he's not signed with a team. And he didn't want people to yell, sign him, or whatever. I don't know. That's what he said, not me.
The whole Kimbrell thing is so mysterious to me.
So you would say...
Just like Dallas Keuchel. It's like, don't you get to the point where you just want to play?
Could you imagine if the Red Sox didn't even invite him? They said, no, we don't want you. Let's get to the four-minute football fix, Brady. Go ahead.
Well, four-minute football fix is going to turn into 3 minutes.
Go,
now.
Whoops.
So, oh my gosh, we talked about baseball.
Go!
We talked about baseball during the four-minute football fix. So, Steven Nelson is a safety for a defensive back, rather, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now a free agent who signed with the Steelers since then. But he was on the Chiefs last year when they lost to the Pats in the AFC title game. He was on Fair Game with Christine Leahy, and she asked him, he said, when you watch the Super Bowl, do you root for the Patriots? Because, hey, if they win, you lost to the champion, or do you root against them? Here's what he said.
I was like, screw the Patriots, because we should have been in the Super Bowl, but, you know, kudos to them for making it, but I wanted the Rams to win.
Yeah, well, except that you weren't in it. So.
People are talking about, it's so funny. I think this is such a meaningless quote, but people on WEEI and NBC Sports Boston are all like, former Chiefs defensive back rips Patriots, yeah. Says screw Patriots, like he was laughing as he said it. Like,
I thought it was a bigger thing. I thought he was going to like tear them apart, saying they were lucky to win the game. There was this one bad call. They have the officials in their pocket. Belichick really isn't that great of a coach. We're going to hammer Tom Brady. I thought I was going to get some of that. I got none of
that. That will crush them when we play them next year.
Exactly. Yeah. Give me at least that. They gave me none of that.
I was hoping it was going to be a big story, but it ended up being nothing. Look, of course, Steven Nelson, I got no problem with him saying, screw the Patriots. We should have been there. In his mind, they should have been there, but he didn't call out the refs. He didn't say this or that. I mean, remember, the Chiefs did do some things to blow that game themselves. You get D Ford being offsides, lining up in the neutral zone. You get the Patriots coming, you know, scoring right before halftime. I think it was Philip Dorsett who scored a touchdown on Steven Nelson. Like, the Chiefs did some things to lose that game also, so I'm glad he didn't go at the refs or go for low-hanging fruit. So, all in good fun. Good, you know, a funny answer by him, but the people who think this is a big deal, I got no time for
you. No, it wasn't a big deal. But the way they put it, the way they made the article seem like, is that he was just roasting them. That there was like
you could tell
F-bombs and something like that.
You could tell it's ratings time in media.
Yeah.
The word rips is coming out a lot.
Absolutely.
I was thinking that when you sent that to me, Arnie, it was going to be like something that leads the whole show.
Oh.
But it didn't end up being that way.
Oh, Tom Brady's not that good. Or something, you know, something like he's a system quarterback. Yeah, I got none of that. You know, none of that juicy stuff out there.
I heard no ripping.
Yeah, none of that. So I was hoping for it, but we didn't get any of that. Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Is that the 4 minute football fix?
That's the 4 minute football.
All right, so there you go. I got 1, 2, 3 last story standings. And each one is better than the other.
Wow.
You're going to love it. So that's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
1.3 The Game.
All right, I got a bunch of good ones. Let's start with the University of South Carolina. Did you see this story? They had their spring football.
Go Gamecocks.
Spring football. They decided after the game they're going to order some pizza for all the players. The pizza came out to $1,966, or let's just say, let's just round it up to $2,000. Two drivers had to deliver it. That's how many pizzas it was. By the way, the coaches thought it'd be good to tip $5. That would be that'd be $2.50 per driver. They had to split the $5. So, of course, Rachel Gossett Van went to Twitter. When you got a beef, you go to Twitter.
Is she one of the drivers?
No, her daughter was. The USC coaches ordered a pizza after the Black-Red game today. 1,966 ordered two drivers to deliver, split their $5 tip for the drivers. My daughter was one of the drivers, also a USC student paying her way through school. Posted that up there.
She's paying her way through through USC?
Yeah.
It's like $48,000 a year or something.
Well, it didn't take long until Papa John's decided that they were going to go ahead and tweet on in and said, this afternoon we had a misunderstanding with an employee at the Gamecocks Online. We take care of the issue, or we have taken care of the issue. Over the years, we've had a great relationship with the Gamecocks. We look forward to working with them.
Southern California. I thought you were talking about USC.
Carolina. South Carolina. South Carolina.
Which is also
and
USC.
So they said, thank you for working with us through this misunderstanding. Yes, they probably took the money out of their pockets and here's the tip, young lady. Here's a couple $100 for you. Just let's keep your mouth shut. All right, I want to get to this one. This is a good one. When you go to Thailand, when you land, you know, the airport is right above a beach.
Oh, so, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's literally, it just misses them.
Yeah. Stop taking selfies. The officials in Thailand said it's very dangerous. But guess what? The tourists say, we don't give a damn. We're taking selfies because I want the plane right over me.
Right.
So Thailand said, fine, you want to play that game. So now they say if you take a selfie, that's now punishable by death. So
which may happen anyway. You're 10 feet from a plane.
Well, they said it could be up to a $1,000 fine or death. We're going to go ahead and kill you. We have the death penalty.
Wow.
And guess what? Guess what?
I bet it worked.
No, they're still taking selfies. They're still taking selfies.
As they're being sucked up into the fuselage.
Do you want to die, sir? Do you want to die? They said, look, if we would have posted that in Vermont, I'd say, God, they're just playing with you. This is in Thailand. They're not playing.
Right.
They're going to kill you if you take a selfie. Don't take the selfie. That's all. I mean, they're going to put you to death. And one other one. Did you hear about the Florida man that just got out of prison?
Oh, here we go. The Florida man.
Yeah. Got out of prison, right? You're going to love this one. Gets out of prison. He's walking outside the prison. I mean, walking and decides, hey, I don't have a car. I think I'll steal one as I'm leaving prison. and steals a car as he's leaving prison.
That is such a Florida
Bravo
guy story.
Bravo for you. Bravo for you, sir. And it only took him just a couple of minutes. He still had his craft working for him. Just had the hot wire. And he took off in his new car, just stepping out of prison.
That's special kind of stupid
Good
right
for
there.
For him. I'd love to get him on the show, Brady. Let's see if you can work that out. What do we got coming up tonight, Rich? What's happening on the station?
Well, we got some basketball game tonight.
Yes, the championship, Texas Tech UVA.
That's a 6:30 pregame. We're quiet on the zone tonight, but the Yankees are playing at Houston. That should be a great series. And that starts with a pregame in about a half an hour over on 620 WVMT.
What are you doing tonight, Brady?
I'm watching the game. I'm watching the Mariners and Royals. I'm going to Orange Theory, and I got a $10 parlay on Texas Tech +1.
Oh, that's right. You're nervous about that.
And over 118.
What about you for your birthday, handsome? What are you
doing
tonight? I'm
going to go and see if anybody will buy me a beer.
Oh, look at you. Going to get yourself
some half-price deals, senior citizen discounts.
There you go. Have a little fun. All right, no interns today.
No interns today.
All right, so for Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Everybody have a good night tonight. Be careful out there right here on 101.3 The Game. The Game.
Clay Travis all morning talking sports all